is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
McCoy at the 10, at the 5, into the end zone. Touchdown! And a great run. Fires down the middle. It is intercepted by Micah Hyde. Intercepted. Tre Day. Tre'Davious White. He's in trouble. He is sacked. Jordan Poyer came unblocked. It is Jerry Hughes who brings him down. What a big play there. McCoy cuts to the right. Outrunning everybody. 10, 5. Touchdown, Buffalo!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts.
All right, Bills Insider Chris Brown with us here today to get things going. We got a great final day of our combine coverage coming to you today from Indianapolis Convention Center. Chris is going to be with us for a couple of minutes, kind of fill us in on what's going on around here. Also coming up, Donald had a good conversation with a number of ESPN talent, including Adam Schefter, Fred Taylor, and who else? Ian Rappaport.
Ian Rappaport.
Yeah.
Rap Sheet.
Yeah. Donald has a recap of his talk with them. Greg Cosell's going to join us live at 1 o'clock today here in our set at the Indianapolis Convention Center. I had a chance to talk with Daniel Jeremiah, Charles Davis of NFL Network, former Colorado and UCLA coach Rick Neuheisel is here for XM Sirius XM NFL Radio. We'll talk with him at 2, all about the combine. We are deep into the combine now. You can feel it. We are watching a monitor behind our camera that has a video of offensive linemen working out. They've been over there since 8:30, 9 o'clock this morning. They're going to be quarterbacks lifting behind us in the bench press, quarterbacks meeting with the media a little bit later on today. The combine is on after our first few days here. Chris Brown is on with us here today. Today feels like really the first day of the combine, doesn't it, Chris, with players around the corner at the Lucas Oil Stadium?
Well, running around on the field,
yeah.
But, I mean, we've seen guys milling about here yesterday. People were pumping it out on the bench press, and so things have been moving here. We've had a lot of moving parts here in the convention center, but today's the first day on the field for O-line and running back, so we'll see how some of the running backs test today.
The craziest thing for me is the offensive line, defensive line, two probably the most important groups on a football team, right? I mean, it all starts in the trenches, and the offensive line is on the field right now. People don't care about that. People want to see Saquon Barkley and the running backs. They want to see the quarterbacks. Right, exactly. They don't really care about these linemen that are on the field right now.
Right, but I think the offensive line is an area where the Bills will be paying very close attention. I think it's a group that needs an influx of youth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have some of the young players on the roster whose contracts are up, like Shontrell Henderson, who I think is viewed as a depth player. You know, can you bring him back at an affordable price in free agency, or do you have to now look for a depth OT that maybe can fill a role? Jordan Mills is entering the last year of his contract at right tackle, so you're going to need some future answers at some of these positions. Richie Incognito, as well as he's played, another Pro Bowl season for him. No spring chicken coming towards the end of his contract, which gets fatter and fatter in terms of dollars. As a GM, you have to think a year or two into the future and have answers at the ready for potential spots. You're already losing, potentially, Ryan Groy is expected to be the starting center. So now he's not that swing guard center guy that you're going to have on Sundays to plug in if somebody goes down with an injury. You've got to get answers there. And so I think they're going to be looking for some of those in the draft this year.
You know, in the draft this year, Chris, there had been some looking at the Bills who mock drafts had them picking Billy Price, the offensive lineman, the center from Ohio State, with either 21 or 22. And Billy Price is not going to be on the field. He suffered an incomplete tear of his left pectoral muscle during the bench press yesterday.
So he
didn't tear it all the way.
He said it was minor. He told reporters
he's already assuring people that he'll be ready by training camp.
Yeah, he had the MRI. Right. I think it happened right after we went off the air, right? We were kind of hovering around over there. It was about 3:30 yesterday. But what does that mean? I mean, a guy who had been mocked to the Bills a couple of times, I don't know that he still will be drafted up there 21-22 now.
Could hurt him. You have to believe. Well, here's a guy with an injury like this.
Sound like Gruden.
Because here in April, right back here in April in Indy, for players like this, they will have the combine recheck. It's the medical recheck. And so the Bills and 31 other teams are going to send their doctors back out here in April to check up to a dozen, two dozen guys who fall into this kind of a category. Billy Price is almost guaranteed to be back here in April for the medical recheck to see what the level of progress is. And I think that will impact where he's going to fall on some boards. I mean, there are probably NFL teams that said, here's a starting caliber center that we can plug and play right away. Are we going to draft him in the first round now? You know, the back half of the first round, I think, is where a lot of people saw him coming off the board. is he going to go off the board there now if you can't plug him into your lineup in this in September? I don't know. Maybe he slides to the early part of day two because of this injury. We'll have to see.
I still think, though, that, I mean, he, like you said, I can't really see him getting past the early part of day two. I can't, because he's a quality lineman in this draft.
Has guard experience, too.
Right, exactly.
He's not just a center, although you looked at his arm measurement yesterday, like, probably just a center. I think his arms were really short yesterday. I'll have to check.
But, I mean, even at the guard position, you can have a little shorter arms to be able to get it done in there on the interior part of that line. But I think, ultimately, he's still going to be in the second round if he slides at all.
Yeah, I don't think the drop is going to be sizable, but this doesn't help him.
Right.
I think that's safe to say.
A little bit other combine news, Chris, and this came out this morning. Peter Schrager on NFL Network said that a number of teams have requested that the Louisville quarterback Lamar Jackson work out at wide receiver in addition to quarterback. That was the Bill Polian comment from a week or so ago. He thought he had, you know, a higher upside at wide receiver than quarterback. Bill didn't want to talk about it with us.
Well, I'm sure Bill's like, yeah, now everybody say something.
But what do you make of that? Is there precedence for that happening at a combine? A player, he literally, I guess, tomorrow when the quarterbacks and receivers are on the field, he could take reps with the quarterback group and then come back out and take reps with the wide receiver group. I don't know if he's going to want to do that.
It's happened before. Who's the Michigan kid that
Jabril Peppers.
Yeah, Jabril Peppers. He had to do linebacker and defensive back.
Yeah.
I can't remember if Hines Ward did receiver and quarterback. I think he went just receiver here. I think he kind of knew what his ticket was going to be in the NFL, but he was a quarterback in college at Georgia and, you know, came here and worked out as a wide receiver.
Yeah.
So it's not unprecedented. Maybe this is a little bit different because a lot of people project him as a first-round talent in terms of being an athlete and probably a quarterback in most cases, but it's very obvious there's enough momentum here on the part of NFL teams that are considering him at a different position besides the one he played in college at a Heisman Trophy level,
yeah,
by the way. So I think that's really interesting because what it says to me is there is enough traction among NFL talent evaluators to say that could he be a quarterback in the NFL? Yes. But he could be an all-world. There are people that think he can be a Pro Bowl caliber wide receiver in this league, and that's enough to push teams to the point to say, can we at least see you work out at wide receiver? I don't know if there are as many teams in this league that believe he can be a Pro Bowl quarterback
right,
as there are that believe he could be a Pro Bowl wide receiver.
Now, for me, it becomes, now where does he end up getting drafted? If he comes here and he can show, and then at the pro days he can show, okay, I can run routes, I can play wide receiver, you still know this guy is wet behind the ears when it comes to playing wide receiver, no matter how athletic he is. So he could end up dropping into the third, fourth round because
no, I don't
you
think
don't
he
see
would.
That?
No. He's too great an athlete
if
to get
you,
there.
If you look at it, I mean, teams, when you draft a guy in the first round, you're looking for him to be able to play right now. If you draft him in the second round, it's kind of the same thing. Wide receiver, yeah, he's a great athlete, but he's going to be a project. And so where does he come off the board?
I still think he's a second-round pick at worst. I mean, he's just such a ridiculous athlete. Hines Ward was a third-round pick, possession receiver in large part. I mean, he wasn't running away from people.
Right.
And he was a third-round draft choice. Talented player, obviously had a long and very successful career. Lamar Jackson is, I mean, he's a freak athlete. I mean, Hines Ward didn't even come close to him. So I don't see him getting out of the early stages of the second round. I really don't, even as a wide receiver.
It'll be interesting to follow that. And this, too, is, as we know, you know, the combine, is the league's been set up here for a couple of days. The Bills have been here for a couple of days. And stuff happens. People talk to agents. There's a report today that the Dolphins have given the agent for Jarvis Landry, their wide receiver, that they put the franchise tag on last week, given his agent permission to seek a trade, kind of putting the ball in his court. How do you think that'll play out? He's under the franchise tag now, right?
Not well. We can go back to precedent here.
They would definitely have to renegotiate.
But we can go back to precedent. We can go all the way back to the Peerless Price sign and trade deal that the Bills pulled off with the Atlanta Falcons after the 2002 season. They knew they weren't going to re-sign him. They had just signed Eric Moulds to a big, fat, long-term contract extension in 01. They couldn't do it for two receivers on their roster when they were trying to fix their cap situation. So they're going to have to find somebody. Here's the difference, though. Peerless Price had almost 1,300 yards receiving and 8 touchdowns, I think, coming off the 2002 season in a high-flying offense and was a burner on the outside. I mean, the guy ran a 4-4. Jarvis Landry is a possession receiver who averages 8 yards a reception.
Right.
So unless you're a New England Patriots-type offense and you need a Julian Edelman-type player, and I don't even think Jarvis Landry is that, I don't see the market here that's going to get the Dolphins probably what they think they should get for him, which is a first-round pick based on the non-exclusive tag that they gave him.
Yeah.
So, number one, I think you're going to have a hard time finding someone willing to pay you the compensation you're looking for. And number two, what's the contract?
Yeah.
It's a possession guy. I don't think he's going to command the kind of money he thinks he's going to get or wants to get.
I mean,
there are multiple hurdles here to clear to make this happen and have all parties be satisfied with it. It's a conundrum. And it's a conundrum that the Dolphins, quite frankly, don't need to have right now because they have a messy cap situation. They have a quarterback issue. They're hitching their wagon to a 30-year-old guy who's been largely average for the balance of his career. And they have a salary-crippling defensive tackle in Ndamukong Suh. They have an aging roster. They have a whole host of problems down there in Miami.
Yeah.
And I'm glad it's them.
Me
they're in the
too.
Bills.
That's why I'm laughing.
Yeah, Tannenbaum's doing the exact same thing with the Dolphins that he did with the Jets. Too much money for veteran players, crippling the cap, limiting their maneuverability, and hurting them in free agency. And Landry is just another thing on top of that heaping pile of problems.
I don't understand. We all can see that Jarvis Landry is a possession guy. You know, I mean, he's not a guy. He is not a guy at all. He is not a guy at all that is able to take the top off the defense. And so, I mean, these guys are getting paid $8 million a year or something like that. So for you to franchise him at 16 and then put that type of tag on him where you're saying you got to give up a first round, he's not worth the first round pick because he's a straight slot guy.
Yeah, I just don't see it happening. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. They're going to have to get really creative, and I think ultimately they're going to have to accept less, and maybe like a 3.
Yeah.
They may have to take a 3 and, you know, let somebody get him for a lot less money. I don't know. There are a lot of layers to that, and none of them are good for the Dolphins.
We're live at the NFL Combine. John Murphy, Donald Jones, Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com. Offensive lineman on the field right now going through workouts. When that ends, we anticipate around 12:40 we get a shot to get former Bills quarterback Frank Reich, the new head coach of the Indianapolis Colts, in our set here on Radio Row, so we look forward to that. It is our final day at the Combine. A couple of questions for you, Chris, and we want to get you in on this. Quarterbacks on the field tomorrow. Which quarterback prospect are you going to watch most closely tomorrow, and who is the one that you think might be a Buffalo Bills fit?
Well, I want to see Mason Rudolph throw because we didn't get the opportunity to see him at the Senior Bowl. He had the midfoot sprain and did not participate, which was unfortunate because I think in a lot of ways he's got to show footwork here, maybe even more than arm strength. I don't think there's any debate that he can drive the ball down the field, but the guy's been in the shotgun for almost his entire college football career outside of short yardage and goal line work. So I want to see his drop back, actually, more than anything else. How has he been doing in working with his footwork? I believe he's working with Jordan Palmer out in California on those elements of his game. I want to see his progress, 7-step drop, 5-step drop. How is his timing? Can he time his feet up with his arm and still hit the target? These are things that I want to see from him. And then people like Lamar Jackson, kind of the same thing. What's his footwork look like dropping back? Because a lot of these guys just work out of the shotgun. You don't see it.
Yeah.
Rosen worked in a pro-style offense. Darnold to a certain degree. And who else am I missing? Darnold, Rosen.
Josh Allen.
Oh, yeah. Allen.
You're a Josh Allen.
Not a huge fan of Josh.
I remember.
What about the kids you did get to see down at the Senior Bowl?
Lauletta.
White. Luke Falk, another kid.
Yeah.
What about those guys?
I think, like I said when I was on with you guys down there, Lauletta got better as the week went along.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's a limited ceiling there with what he can do for your offense. When I see him play and watch some of his tape, I'm reminded of that Virginia quarterback who played in the league for a while, and his name is escaping me now, played for the Falcons.
Schaub?
Matt Schaub. That's who I think of when I see Kyle Lauletta, Matt Schaub. So, can he win you games? Yeah. Is he going to take you to a Super Bowl? I don't think so. Hmm. So, and that's why he's probably a late day two, day three pick, because I think his career in the NFL, I foresee as being a 10-year backup in the league. I think he can be that. So where do you value that? That's probably somewhere day three, quite frankly.
Which of the quarterbacks are you looking forward to watching tomorrow?
I'm looking forward to seeing Mason Rudolph for the same reasons, and those guys that we were just talking about. The rest of the guys, I just think it's too rich to try to get up and get those guys. Anything can happen. They can trade to get up there. I don't know if those guys are really on the board for the Bills, but I just think it's too much to try to get up there. I think they're going to end up sitting where they are and try to take Rudolph or any of the rest of those
guys. Rosen's my favorite quarterback. He had me sold after I watched the UCLA-USC game, because we were all out in L.A. for the Chargers-Bills game. So that night, UCLA's playing USC. I watched that game on TV that night, and I'm just watching him drop balls over shoulders into tight windows, not getting a lot of help with the defense, which was the case every single week.
Yeah.
This guy put that team on his back for the better part of the last 2 years. And if they don't have Josh Rosen in their lineup, that's a 3-9 football team, not a 7-5 team that qualified for a bowl game. So, I think people have criticized him for his durability. Show me when he had an offensive line that could protect for more than 3.5 seconds. Or more than 3 seconds. Not very often. So I think he was working with the deck largely stacked against him for most of his college football career, because he didn't have a dynamic running back in the backfield. He has receivers who I don't think are going to get drafted in this year's draft class. And he had a defense that couldn't stop anybody. Yeah, UCLA had to go out and score 40 points a week if they were going to have even a chance at winning. And they've lost games 45-40 this year. The Memphis game is a perfect example. And he played pretty darn well in that game. So I just like quarterbacks who can raise the level of players around them. And I think he demonstrated that maybe more than any of these other quarterbacks in the entire draft class.
Darnold's not throwing, right? So I guess I'm looking for Josh Rosen. It's funny. You talk to a lot of people around here. We're going to talk to Rick Neuheisel a little bit later on in the show. There are a lot of superlatives about Josh Rosen and his arm talent. There are questions about some of the other stuff, leadership ability. I don't know if it's approach, attitude. I don't know. But people rave about his arm talent, Chris, as being accurate.
It's special.
I want to see that.
It's really special.
I watched about 4 games of Rosen on tape, but I want to see tomorrow what he looks like in these drills. I know they're only drills.
Go watch the USC game.
Yeah, I did. I did watch that.
Just some of the throws he's making. I don't know if I've seen a Bills quarterback make one of those throws in 10 years.
Yeah.
Just special, special accuracy. And I'm telling you right now, any NFL head coach will tell you the two things that they look for in a quarterback that will carry them further than anything else: accuracy and decision-making.
Yeah.
And I think those are two of his greatest assets. And then yesterday, not that measurements are the only thing, but he's 6'4". Measures in at 6'4", which was an inch taller than I expected, 214, and his hand size is almost 10 inches. For a guy that's 6'4 with a 10-inch hand, and you need a bigger hand when you're playing in bad weather because that ball gets cold, it's a rock, you need a bigger hand to really grip that thing so you can still spin it when the weather's cold or the wind's blowing. You want to be able to spin that thing through the wind. He's got the hand size necessary to do that.
With Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com. A couple of minutes left with Chris. So which quarterback prospect will you be watching the closest tomorrow? Give us a call. Let us know what you think. We got a couple of minutes here to take calls, 803-0550, or toll-free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. Our Twitter poll is interesting today. Kind of a lighthearted question. What would be your best combine drill? I want to get your
guys. What
about
yours, Murph?
I would go right to Wonderlic test. We offer Wonderlic test.
The
bench
Wonderlic
press,
test?
Vertical jump, 40-yard dash.
I think
dash.
We knew who put Wonderlic test on the list.
45% of our respondents say Wonderlic test. 37% say 40-yard dash.
Although I did hear a rumor that Murph did run track back in the day.
No.
Really?
No. 12% bench press, 6% vertical jump. We didn't put broad jump on there, Donald, but to save you money.
Are you taking shots?
But what do you think? Give us a call. What would be your best NFL combine drill? Mr. Combine, what would be your, at age 30?
The vert.
Yeah, the vert.
Vert?
That would be the vert for him.
You'd be in the 6% who say vertical
jump. I'd be in the 6% that say vertical jump. But speaking of, what about you?
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, I would do 40.
Would you really?
You think you're fast?
Well, I was a little bitty quick guy. So, I mean, I'm not going to do a 4-4. I mean, my legs aren't even long enough to do that.
We're watching offensive linemen out there now. Would you be able to hold your own?
I actually ran a 40 my senior year in high school. Our coach had us run those. I don't know why. I mean,
time?
I was playing soccer and stuff. But I was a 4-6.
Wow.
I ran a 4-6. So I was pretty happy with that.
What was that, 25 years ago?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm anywhere near there now. I'd be happy with a 4-8, though.
Man, we should get you running for is there a field? Any? Look, I think we got like 40 yards right here.
Yeah, or we could where's the fan experience for that? We can
right,
go,
exactly.
We can go find that, wherever that is.
Look at the stopwatch. We can use,
I haven't
you know,
seen where the
40.
I think it's in another
another part of this
cavernous room, yeah. Around here.
You know, speaking of these events here at the Combine, we saw yesterday guys actually do the bench press, the offensive linemen, but then the running backs.
Yeah.
Saquon Barkley put up, 29 reps. You have talked about some other running backs, and we know the Bills need a backup running back. I would think that they would end up drafting one. Did anybody impress you yesterday? Just bench press.
On the bench, not really.
Yeah.
I like Rashad Penny, the San Diego State kid who led the nation in rushing. I think he's got a versatile skill set, which I think is important, but I think he can run behind his pads really well. And I liked what I saw from him at the Senior Bowl. And I think he's a guy that can be there late day two. So now you're committing a third-round pick. Do you want to commit a pick that high to a running back with all the other needs that the Bills have? I don't know. I think the Bills will probably look more day three for that guy. And you can still find some good value there in round four. And the Bills have two picks in round five. Maybe that's the time where you can use a luxury pick to get some guy to be the backup behind McCoy. But I think they want versatility because we got to remember, Brian Daboll's coming from New England. They use their running backs in a multitude of different ways. I think they need a guy that they know football IQ-wise can handle it and then also execute it from a run-to-receiving standpoint, because the last thing you want to be is predictable in this league. And if you have a running back that can do multiple things back there, whether it's first down, second down, or third down, you're at an advantage there.
Hey, Chris, I want to ask you about a post that you put up late yesterday on BuffaloBills.com, and you basically followed along with the teams that have the top five picks. Cleveland has 1 and 4, Giants have 2, Indy has 3, Denver has 5.
Yep.
All 5 of them say they're open for business. If somebody wants to make them an offer to move up, if somebody's interested in, say, a quarterback to move up and get them, they're going to listen to offers, and which plays into the Bills. I mean, the Bills would have, if they're interested in, Rosen, Darnold, probably those two, they're going to have to trade with one of those top five.
Right. And, yeah, they're all open for business, and you'd expect them to say that to a certain degree, but I think also there's going to be competition for that stuff.
Yeah.
So is it – and I asked some of those GMs this week, do you think it's going to be a seller's market because of the demand to get up to the top of the board? And Gettleman kind of gave me a wry smile, and he said, well, we'll see, won't we? I think he doesn't want to predict anything. I don't think any of the GMs want to predict anything. But the fact that they're even willing to listen. I mean, I tried to pin down John Dorsey. I said, are you more willing to part with pick 4 than pick 1? And he wouldn't give me a straight answer. I didn't expect one. But, you got to throw the line out and fish a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But he's willing to deal, and evidence of that comes from last year. I mean, he was the GM of the Chiefs last year, and there he is making the trade with the Bills to go from 27 all the way up to 10. To get his quarterback, Pat Mahomes, the strongest arm quarterback in the draft. So I think there are going to be guys in that top five that will move out based on how the top of the board falls. So maybe a team like the Colts, if the Giants surprise them and take the top pass rusher off the board, and the Colts had their hearts set on a pass rusher, maybe they back out at number 3, stockpile some picks because the Colts need bodies.
Yeah.
The Giants need bodies.
Mm-hmm.
They don't just have one or two needs. They've got like 4 or 5 that they've got to fill. Maybe they drop back, stockpile some picks so they can fill some holes. I think the Colts are another candidate to do that. The Browns are interesting. They got 12 picks already. We asked them, moving back, do you really need more picks? And Dorsey said, you can never draft enough good players.
Yeah.
So I think everything's on the table there, which I think could make for a very entertaining top five in terms of teams trying to get up and who comes off the board. A lot of people feel it's going to be Darnold and Rosen going 1-2. So if you want to get up there, you're going to have to pay a king's ransom. I don't know who's willing to do that. We'll be interesting to see. It's going to be a fun draft this year. I really think it is.
What are you working on for the website in the next 24 or 36 hours?
We've got an approach to free agency. Based on what we heard from Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott, what can we expect from the Bills in free agency? So we've got that coming up. Actually, the story's up now. Just went up at noon. And then we'll have some coverage of the quarterbacks today who are meeting the media. So we'll have all that for them through the weekend. Combine coverage right through the weekend. I know you're helping me out a little bit on the written side, too. So it'll be good.
Okay, Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com. Thank you very much, Chris. We'll let you get to work. Coming up next, Donald Jones made the rounds of the ESPN crew and talked to some of them the other day. Adam Schefter, Fred Taylor, Ian Rappaport. We'll hear from Donald and that crew when we return. We're coming to you live from the Combine, the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the NFL Combine. John Murphy, Donald Jones here. A couple of minutes away from Frank Reich, Indianapolis Colts' new head coach, scheduled to join us in about 10 minutes or so. News from the Combine as the offensive linemen work out. Notre Dame guard Quentin Nelson, one of the top-ranked interior offensive linemen, is not going to work out anymore. He tweaked his hamstring warming up, according to Kim Jones of NFL Network, said he can't open up. He says he'll do some other remaining drills, but he will not run the 40 anyway in the NFL Combine today. We sent Donald Jones out among the masses here at the NFL Combine and the Convention Center to see who we could talk with, and he talked to a couple of key guys, Ian Rappaport from the NFL Network, Adam Schefter from ESPN, covering the Combine for ESPN, and Fred Taylor, longtime Jacksonville Jaguars running back. Donald Jones sent among the masses here at the NFL Combine.
I'm here with ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter. Adam, thanks for doing this.
Thank you, Donald.
All right, I'm sure your phone has not calmed down yet. I always see you with your phone in your hand, and we got to get on the quarterback talk. I'm sure that's what everybody's talking about here. So let's talk about the Vikings to start with, and Kirk Cousins, and people are talking about him possibly going to the Vikings. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that the Jets are going to be the most impressive team in regards to Kirk Cousins. I think that they will come the hardest, have the most money, and I think the Vikings will be interested. I think the Broncos will be interested. I think those are the three teams to watch. That doesn't mean a team like Buffalo or Cleveland couldn't jump into the mix, right, but I believe that those are the three teams to watch here in no particular order, the Jets, the Vikings, and the Broncos.
And now with one of the guys that doesn't seem like he'll be there, and Sam Bradford, hearing about his knee and degenerative knee, what do you think about him and his future?
Well, that's always been the knock on Sam. He's got great arm talent. They think he's a great quarterback, but there are questions about his durability. He hasn't played a whole lot of football the last few years. If you can keep him healthy, and I don't know that anybody can, he's a really good quarterback. But that's why he's out there. That's why the Vikings haven't re-signed him yet, and that's why other teams are probably going to have a chance to speak to him because of the health and durability issues.
Another guy who came available, I guess, a little bit late, A.J. McCarron. What do you think the market will be for A.J. McCarron?
I think there'll be a market. Look, everybody is not going to get the quarterback that they want, and this is a game about supply and demand, and there's a great demand for quarterbacks, and there's not a great supply. But A.J. McCarron is a guy who's flash, who's shown some ability. Cleveland was interested in him before. If you remember at the trade deadline, the Browns were willing to give up a second and a third round pick for him, and they didn't get the deal done. So if they were able to give up a second and third round pick for him back then, even though it's a different GM, maybe they'll have some interest now. I think Cleveland will have some interest in A.J. McCarron.
All right, let's get to the Bills a little bit and Tyrod Taylor. I'm not sure if you're hearing anything about what the Bills want to do with Tyrod Taylor, but what do you think his future is in Buffalo or somewhere else?
Well, it's a situation there where you heard Sean McDermott this week. He said that the Buffalo Bills do not plan to move on from Tyrod Taylor at this time. And I think there's a lot there that we could parse through and decipher. I think right now what it means is they're holding on to him as a commodity and that there's going to be teams that don't get the quarterback they want. And the teams that don't get the quarterback they want, I think, will be getting phone calls from the Buffalo Bills. Right. Would you be interested in trading for Tyrod Taylor? Just because they said they're holding on to him at this time doesn't mean they're holding on to him into the month of April. Right. And once we start to see some quarterback movement, it'll be very interesting to see what happens with Tyrod Taylor.
Now, we've heard a couple of teams, Dave Gettleman and the Giants. We've also heard Dorsey and the Browns come out today and say they're open for business and available for trade. What do you think about that?
Every team is open for business. Why wouldn't you be? You say, no, we're holding on to our pick when you have no idea who that pick is going to be or what another team would offer for that pick. Of course. I mean, if you're a GM, that's what you would say. We're open for business. We'll listen to any picks for our pick. And so they're doing exactly what they should be doing as the general managers of their franchises.
All right, there it is. ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter. Adam, thank you.
Thank you, Donald.
All right. Now standing with former Jags running back, some people would say the best running back in Jaguars history, Fred Taylor. Fred, thank you for doing this. I get a five for that?
Appreciate
it's
that.
Not enough, though. I need like 100, man. What's going on
too
here?
Too late. You can't take it back now.
All right. Well, you know, you said you were talking off air. You were saying a lot of Bills fans would say or feel like, and you brought up that you could have been a Bill twice.
Yeah. 98, they traded away the ninth pick.
They took Rob Johnson. They feel they had a need for quarterback instead of a running back. So they gave Jacksonville the ninth pick, which is where I was drafted in 98. And then 2008, after Jacksonville let me go, my first visit was to Buffalo. The money stuff wasn't right, so I immediately left that visit, went to New England, signed with the Patriots, and finished my last 2 years as a Patriot.
Now, could you say you would have probably wanted to have been a Bill?
You know what? As a rookie, you want to be wherever you want to be, right? Whoever takes you. That second time around, Buffalo felt like the place to be. You know, I was definitely willing to sign there, but the numbers were way off. I mean, I was only at, you know, 3 million. I knew the market. Mm-hmm. Now, I was a guy who played 11 years at the time, so I knew the market. I knew my value. I went in, I asked for 3 million. They were at 1 million. Two million off, yeah. So it didn't work out.
Gotcha. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about the running back position today. And football has changed, even from when you were playing. Yeah. It's a lot more of a passing league now. Where do you think the running back position is right now?
You know, I think it's definitely undervalued still, you know, because it'll forever be the foundation of the game. There have been rule changes that affect the game, the output and performances now, but you still have to have a run game. Otherwise, it's just 7-on-7, and you can't do that the entire game. With the tweener DNs, they're drafting these guys just to be speed guys to get after the passing teams. So the running back position is still undervalued. There's still a huge necessity and very important piece of the offense, especially when you have the young running backs like, you know, the Saquon Barkley's that are slated to get drafted early, the Ezekiel Elliott's and those guys. But, yeah, I still think that there are some special guys out there that's going to still, you know, make that position go.
Now, as you talk about the running back position and being undervalued, the Bills have had one of the top 10 running teams in the league for the last 3 years, really in a row, yep. And LeSean McCoy really leading that thing. So what do you think about LeSean McCoy?
You know, I love his game. I absolutely love his game. When he came out of Pitt, I was a huge fan. So I forgot to mention that he's a guy that still demands respect as an older guy now. Yeah. But he's still dynamic. He does everything, catches the ball well, has great vision, makes you miss. The jump cut, still has good speed. A guy who's just joined the 10,000-yard club. I shout him out on Instagram and pay homage and welcome him to that club. And I still think he has a lot left in his tank. And he's a guy who can be, you know, a good mentor for a lot of the young guys because he's had, you know, some different experiences with the injuries and changing teams and all that different stuff. So definitely a special player, still one of the elite.
Now, you're still a guy who's trying to get into the Hall of Fame, and a lot of people feel like you should be in there. People are saying now that you brought up LeSean McCoy in the 10,000, right. Do you feel like he – could be in the Hall of Fame in the future?
You know, I think he has the ability. You know, I think for Shady, what he needs to do is really it's about finishing strong. And the reason I say that is I don't think I would be in that a guy who should be in the Hall of Fame conversation if I had finished strong. My last 2 years in New England, I missed 20 games. Should have easily rushed for 1,500 over two seasons. I won the starting job, all that stuff. Fortunately, I got banged up, and that didn't happen. You know, so Shady has to find a way to stay healthy. He's going to rack up those yards as long as he's out there on the field because of his ability. And there's no doubt in my mind that if he can play, you know, another, 4 years or whatever at the level he – not even at that level, maybe 2 years at the level as he displayed a year ago – then the next couple years, been a mentor to a young guy that, you know, the team bring in. I still think he can get out there and get it done and finish with well over 13,000.
All right, well, there you have it. Former Jags and Patriots running back Fred Taylor. Fred, thank you.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Here now, joined by NFL Insider, NFL.com, Ian Rappaport, Rap Sheet. How you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm good. All right, so I want to talk to you a little bit about some receivers, some guys that might be coming up for contracts. We've heard Odell Beckham actually say he wants to get $20 million a year. Do you think that's realistic for him?
I think it's not crazy. I mean, I don't know if he's going to get it, but, you know, Antonio Brown is at 17 a year. Odell is the next, you know, and I don't know if it's going to be 20, but it's going to be more than 17. So it's probably going to be in the 18, 19 range. And, you know, if you're a team, maybe you pay a little higher, you know, average per year and lower on the guarantees. I mean, you can make it work if that's what he wants. But I will say this, you know, that's generally quarterback money. He's one of the best players in the NFL regardless of position. If they paid him 20 a year, he would be worth it. So I don't think that's crazy at all.
Now, it sounds like the market is changing for all positions. So let's go to the defensive line position and Aaron Donald out there in L.A. What do you think he'll end up getting?
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be probably the highest paid defensive player in football. You know, you look at the salary, it's going to be, you know, around 20, past 20, something like that. I mean, you know, Ndamukong Suh got, I believe, 60 guaranteed. I would imagine that Aaron Donald will eclipse that. And, you know, for these kind of guys, and he's, you know, in the same category as Odell Beckham, they change the game. They ruin game plans. They change the game. To me, those guys should get quarterback money because that's their value to the team they play on.
Now, everybody's here at the draft talking about quarterbacks, but I want to talk about running backs and Saquon Barkley. Where do you think he'll end up? He's kind of in a funny spot with, I would think, the Giants, but he might end up somewhere else. What do you think?
I wouldn't even be surprised if he goes number one, honestly. I mean, if he's the best player in the draft, if the Browns sign a quarterback during free agency who they believe can start for them this year, then maybe that's their only chance to take him. I mean, I don't think they are able to – maybe they're able to take him at four, but it's not a guarantee. I guarantee they're able to take him at one. So I'll be curious there. I mean, it's – you know, he's one of the best prospects in the draft. He's clean. There's not a lot of questions. It's not like, you know, if he clears this up, he'll be – no, like he's a good person. He's sickly talented. He's going to put on a show here. I had a head coach tell me yesterday he's the best – running back prospect he's seen in 20 years. I think he's going to go real high.
Who's another top prospect that's not outside of the quarterback position? Who's the next top prospect?
Well, you know, I think Bradley Chubb is a guy at NC State, you know, sort of kind of in that next. Could he go three? Could he go four to the Browns? You know, right up there. I mean, that's, you know, outside the quarterbacks, outside the running back, that's probably the hottest sort of name now in a position where there's just really not a lot of talent in the draft.
Now, the Bills are sitting at 21-22 in the draft. Where do you think the Bills will end up going in the draft?
They got a lot of different places they can go, but, you know, I think it's obvious the quarterback position is a place of need. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see him take the two picks, package them together, and move up. It would be a time to do it. You know, certainly it would be something where this is the reason you acquire these assets. And, you know, if you look at the Bills draft last year, it's kind of funny. They traded back and ended up getting a Rookie of the Year candidate anyway. And you get a first-rounder this year to possibly move up again. They're in a really, really good spot draft-wise. And, you know, the reason you get draft capital is to be able to move around and have that maneuverability. And I think they're going to use it.
All right, there you have it. NFL.com, NFL Insider, and Rappaport. Rap Sheet, thank you.
Thank you.
Donald Jones talking to Ian Rappaport, and before that, Fred Taylor and Adam Schefter. Rappaport said Saquon Barkley may be the number one overall pick. That'd be stunning, I think, based on the teams that need quarterbacks and the desire to move up and get the quarterback they want.
Yeah, I mean, that would shock me if they went number one overall, just because they've been trying to draft quarterbacks for so long and still have not hit on one, and I can't see him passing up. You have the opportunity to take the guy that you like. And all of these teams are trying to get up there just to take one of these guys. There has to be at least one guy that you like. I can't see them trading back to take anybody else. Or I can't see them actually taking a running back number one overall.
Saquon Barkley, though, continuing to shine. 41-inch vertical jump today to go along with his work on the bench press
so
yesterday.
He's right where I was.
Of those three, it's pretty clear no one really has a good handle on what the Buffalo Bills are going to do, right? The three guys you talk with.
Yeah, nobody. I mean, it's so hard because that's a weird spot. You're kind of in no man's land at 21-22 because it's like you'd love to be able to get up there to get one of those guys, but you have to give up so much to get one of those quarterbacks. And then when you're sitting at that spot, it's like you're not sure who's still going to be on the board. Now, they drafted Tre'Davious White. He was still on the board last year when they got him later in the first round. And there's still going to be some talent there, but at the end of the day, you're not sure who's going to be there at that
Drafted Tre'Davious White and loved what he did. As Rappaport said, he was a candidate for Defensive Rookie of the Year. Let's take a phone call. Brad in Rochester on the line with us. Brad, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. Well, I hope you listen to Ian.
Hello, Brad.
Use their draft collateral and move up the board and get one of the top four guys. But my question to you guys is, if they stay put at 21-22 and Lamar Jackson and Mason Rudolph drop that far, which it sounds like they might, out of those two guys, completely different skill sets, who would you feel more comfortable going with, Rudolph or Lamar Jackson, if they were to take one of the two?
I'd feel more comfortable with Mason Rudolph.
I'd feel more comfortable with Mason Rudolph right now as a pure quarterback, you know, and I know people love Lamar Jackson's athleticism and all of that stuff, but for me, I think you need a pure pocket passing quarterback at this point, and so I'd feel more comfortable with Rudolph over Lamar Jackson right now.
And be ready to sit him for a while, right? Not play him right away.
Right, exactly. And with Lamar Jackson, he's not ready to come into this league and be a quarterback, so you're going to have to sit him too. So I think you're better off with the guy that's already a pure pocket passing type of quarterback.
All right, we're going to take a break, and we hope to have Frank Reich, former Bills backup quarterback, Indianapolis Colts head coach. He's watching some of the workouts. He may be delayed a little bit because they're still working out some of the offensive linemen over there. We got Greg Cosell coming up in the 1 o'clock hour as well, our usual Friday guest. So stick around. A lot more to come. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, from the NFL Scouting Combine in Indy. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. We await Frank Reich. We hope to get him. We got Greg Cosell coming up at 1 o'clock. Maybe we'll squeeze Frank Reich in there somewhere as well. Also coming up on the show later today, I had a chance to talk with Daniel Jeremiah and Charles Davis of the NFL Network about this combine. And Rick Neuheisel, we'll have a chat with him coming up at 2 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Former head coach at University of Colorado and at UCLA, a couple of years in the NFL with the Baltimore Ravens. He's an interesting guy. He'll have interesting takes, I think, on quarterback play. Want to know from you, our Twitter poll today, which of the quarterbacks that are going to be throwing tomorrow, which one are you most interested in seeing? Give us a call. The phone line's open, 803-0550, or toll-free, 1-888-552-550. Actually, our Twitter poll is, which combine event would you be most comfortable in, including the Wonderlic test? Maybe you can phone us up on that. But we asked people about the quarterbacks you're looking for. A couple of tweeted replies. Daryl F29 says, Lamar Jackson, I'm rooting for him to prove all the people that think he should be a wideout wrong. People fawn all over Allen and Mayfield, but Lamar would have to switch positions in order to be successful. Come on, he's a better player than Allen. I get that sentiment. I don't know if I agree, but I get that.
Yeah, you get that. But the difference is you're drafting a guy based on, I guess, potential. And a lot of people see the athleticism in Lamar Jackson, and I get it. But these coaches, these GMs, these organizations want a quarterback that can purely be able to throw from the pocket. Now, Josh Allen has a lot of issues in throwing the ball and accuracy and all of that stuff. But I think they feel like they could correct some things with him to make him a pocket or I guess get his accuracy a little bit better. When you look at Lamar Jackson, You wonder if you can not change him, but get him to stay in the pocket a little bit longer and pass the ball. You've seen some guys be able to do it, and a Russell Wilson and a Cam Newton now who's changed his style of play. You've seen other guys not really be able to do it, you know, and they want to get out of the pocket. They do. And so that's why and he's so athletic, and that's why you're hearing these teams say that, yeah, we want to see you at receiver because we want to be able to use you on the field, get the ball in your hands in another way.
In a way, it's an appreciation. We know what a great athlete you are. We know what an impact player you could be. We think, at least initially, you would have greater impact at receiver as opposed to quarterback, right? Isn't that what they're saying, these couple of teams who have inquired to Jackson and saying, would you like to do some wide receiver drills here this weekend? That's what they're saying.
It depends on who you're talking to. If it's an appreciation or not, some people look at it like they reacted that negatively towards Bill Polian for saying what he said.
Yeah.
But now you see it's a real thing. These teams really believe that. Look, we think that you can help our team right now at the wide receiver position. If you come in this league as a quarterback, we don't believe you can help us right now. You might
What's
have some
wrong
teams
with that?
That I know.
There's
I know.
Nothing wrong with that. That's realistic.
It's realistic. And at the end of the day, you got to be realistic as a player. And I know certain guys. I mean, Tim Tebow is that way. They wanted him to switch over to tight end, and he was like, "No, I want to play quarterback. I'm going to make myself a better quarterback." It never
didn't
worked
happen.
Out. It didn't happen, and he found himself out of the league. And so, you know, you have to be able to realistically look at this thing and listen to what they're telling you and just take that feedback and say, look, if you want me to play receiver, I understand. Because here's the thing. It's not like just fans are saying that. It's not just like the media is saying that. No, these are teams that are coming to you saying this. This is a real thing. So it's not like, oh, I want to prove you guys wrong. No, if they're saying this, that means they are asking you to do this. So you need to go ahead, be realistic, and do it and become a great receiver.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what it is. Because if you don't, you're probably not going to play in this league a long time.
I was just thinking back to Polian and his reaction when we asked him about that and his refusal to answer.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't make that up. He didn't just cook that up himself.
He probably was talking
to teams who said, really like to see this guy take wide receiver reps.
Right, exactly. I mean, those guys at ESPN don't just make this stuff
up. He doesn't, yeah.
Yeah, and he has a lot of connections. He knows a lot of GMs all across the league. They probably listen to him a lot. You know,
yeah.
they call on him for advice. And so if he had a chance to speak with them, which I'm pretty sure he did, then they're saying, yeah, we want to see this kid at a receiver. We're not sure if he could be a quarterback right now. But he can impact this team in a positive way at the receiver position right now because he is so dangerous with the ball in his hands.
I wanted one more tweet that came in, Donald, from Corey. Wants to know, where did Donald Jones get that Jordan Bills jacket? I need one. Is he talking about that or the black jacket?
He's talking about the black one.
Yeah, that I had on yesterday. The other day, yeah. You had it on yesterday.
Yesterday, yeah.
Yeah, those are for us.
I mean, everything's not for everybody.
Those were Christmas gifts a year ago. Those were our Christmas gifts. Everybody got them in our old department.
Yeah, in our old department.
And actually, people around here in Radio Row were asking about that.
Yeah.
Where'd you get the Jordan? How'd you get the Jordan thing?
Some haters from other teams. Where'd you get that, man?
Yeah,
you guys have a connection with Jordan?
Yeah, we just said yes.
We do. Personally,
you got a problem with that? Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break here. Still waiting to hear from Frank Reich. I see that the offensive linemen are still going on over across the way, so maybe that'll happen, maybe it won't. In the meantime, Greg Cosell is going to join us in a moment. He's going to go through the quarterbacks and some of the wide receivers, the drills that will be on the field tomorrow. Come on back. It is the John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts. We're live at the NFL Combine on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Sports Update.
We are here live at the NFL Combine. First day for on-field work inside Lucas Oil Stadium. Offensive linemen and running backs on the field. Bills coaches and scouts at the stadium watching those workouts as the business of the Combine gets going. Quarterbacks and wide receivers hit the field tomorrow. Much of the focus on the strong quarterback class in this year's draft. Ohio State center Billy Price had been mocked to the Buffalo Bills in some mock drafts, but he suffered an incomplete tear of his left pectoral muscle during the bench press workout yesterday. A two-time All-American with 55 consecutive starts for the Buckeyes says he should be ready to go by training camp in this summer. Many teams, multiple NFL teams, have reportedly requested for the dual-threat Louisville quarterback Lamar Jackson to work out as a wide receiver here at the Combine, including working out as a quarterback. And the Miami Dolphins have given the agent for Jarvis Landry permission to seek a trade for himself. Since that permission was granted, ESPN reports that at least two teams have communicated their interest in a potential deal. Sabres looking for their third win in a row tonight. Buffalo on the road again tonight in Florida to play the Panthers. Buffalo 6-1-1 in their last eight road games, including Wednesday's win in Tampa Bay. Sabres forward Kyle Okposo back with the team after missing Wednesday's win in Tampa. Stayed back in Buffalo with his wife as she gave birth to a baby girl. Faceoff 7:30 tonight. Sabres in South Florida to play the Panthers. College basketball, Canisius and Niagara set up in Albany this weekend for the Metro Atlantic Athletic Conference Tournament. Tonight at 9:30, Canisius plays Quinnipiac at the Times Union Center. Quinnipiac won its first game last night. Tomorrow night, Niagara, the third seed, plays its first tournament game against Fairfield. And the UB Bulls, already having clinched the number one seed in the upcoming Mid-American Conference Tournament, finish out their regular season tonight with a game against Bowling Green on the road in Ohio. The Bulls looking to clinch the outright MAC regular season title with a win. Buffalo with 14 wins in the Mid-American Conference so far this season. And that is the update as we come to you live from the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
McCoy at the 10, at the 5, into the end zone. Touchdown! And a great run. Fires down the middle. It is intercepted by Micah Hyde. Intercepted. Trey Day. Trey Day. Hughes who brings him down. What a big play there.
Boy, much to the right.
Outrunning everybody. 10-5. Touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts.
Live from the NFL Combine, where the offensive linemen are still on the field down the street over at Lucas Oil Stadium. That's where Frank Reich is. That's why Frank won't be with us today. We just got word from his Indianapolis Colts handles. We'll get Frank on the show.
He has a job to do.
He's got a job to do. He's
got
to watch those linemen.
Away from his job.
I'm not, but Frank has other obligations as well. John Murphy, Donald Jones, joined here in the Combine by our normal Friday guest at 1 o'clock. Happy to have Greg Cosell, executive producer for NFL Matchup on ESPN, senior producer at NFL Films. Good to have you here. Good to see you in person instead of down the line.
Good to be with you guys, Murph, Donald. Yeah, it's nice to see you guys.
You spend a lot of time here at Radio Row. I see you making the rounds all over the place.
Well, you know, they some people think I know what I'm talking about, so I just try to keep fooling them, Murph.
Yeah, we do. We know what you're talking about.
Here's a question. Are you fooling yourself?
Well, you know, you have to sometimes. Everybody needs a good rationalization to get through the day, you know?
Hey, Greg, today, I got to say, today it feels like the Combine begins. This is our third day here.
Yeah.
But with players on the field down the street, and I was over there this morning, I finally feel like the Combine is underway today.
Yeah, no, I always feel the same way, and I'm going to get a chance after I talk to you guys to go over to the Dome. I'm very anxious to see the running backs, actually, so they'll be next. But, yeah, no, once it starts up inside, I always feel like that's the real start of it.
No offensive line, huh? You just didn't want to see the offensive
line. Well, I had to be with you guys, you know? I had to make a choice.
So he pried you away from your job,
I had to
too.
Make a choice, you know? I decided to be with you guys rather than watch the offensive lineman live.
Gotcha. Saquon Barkley is the guy who's made kind of headlines over the last 24 hours,
you know,
here.
It's so funny, Murph, because to me, everybody knew he would test really well. I don't think that's a surprise.
It's not a surprise.
So to me, I don't think that changes anything that you feel about Saquon Barkley.
Right.
What happened here at the Combine with him is not news. Mm-hmm. I mean, the guy's been a social media sensation with his weightlifting and the way he looks. So I don't think there's a surprise.
You know, I've heard people say, draft experts say, he's the cleanest prospect in 10 years. I mean, is there anything that you see on the film any flaws in his game that you see?
Flaws, no. I he's an interesting runner to me because for a guy that came in at 233 and that obviously is built the way all of us would love to be built, you know, he's an interesting runner because he's really more of a scat back kind of runner than he is a power runner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a spectacular, and he has runs that look like Barry Sanders. And he obviously is a three-down back because of his ability to catch.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not really a power runner for a guy who's 233 pounds.
Right.
And that's not a knock. I'm not this is not saying, he's not a great prospect.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny you mentioned clean prospects. I think people would probably say Barkley and the guard from Notre Dame, Quentin Nelson, might be the two cleanest prospects in this draft. And I would bet that Nelson will be one, two, or three on pretty much everybody's board, but not likely to be drafted one, two, or three.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, where will Barkley be drafted? How high up can he go with a good, solid combine, which he's already putting together?
I mean, I think conceivably he could go one, two. I mean, I think everybody assumes the Browns will take a quarterback. We don't know that. But you never know. Certainly he'd be in play for the Giants at number two if their new personnel group led by Dave Gettleman believes that Eli has another couple of years left and they don't feel that they have to take a quarterback at two. Certainly Saquon Barkley would make sense there. So he's a really good prospect.
Got a caller on the line who wants to talk about Barkley. Bobby on the line with us. Go ahead, Bobby. You're on the air.
How you doing?
Good.
How you doing, sir? You know, I'm thinking, man, I got all the scenarios of what's going to happen in the draft and all that. But I don't see nobody. I don't see the Bills moving up to getting a quarterback because there's not a quarterback in the draft that is that good. You know that you move up. Now let's say the Bills move up and Saquon Barkley is available. Do the Bills take him and you know have that 1-2 punch with LeSean McCoy? Can you imagine a 1-2 punch with LeSean McCoy and him and in a couple of years, McCoy's not going downhill anytime soon. But can you imagine both of them on the same team? And then in a couple of years, McCoy.
Listen, Greg, if you take Barkley, you want him on the field. You don't want him to sit behind anybody.
I mean, I would think I understand the thought process, but I think McCoy is essentially a three-down back. And, I don't see any really decline in McCoy. I don't think
right.
you're – I don't think you're looking right now as if LeSean McCoy is not going to be a meaningful part of your offense for, right. let's say, at least two more years.
Yeah. Right, right.
Right.
Maybe the most meaningful part of
the Maybe offense. The exactly. So, you know, again, I don't think you would do that, but I agree with Bobby the caller. I don't see the Bills moving up. I don't see the Bills getting rid of those picks because they'd have to, they have five of 95 picks. My sense is, knowing Sean McDermott a little bit, I don't know Brandon Bean really at all, but my sense is, and Murph, you would know this better, I don't think their mindset is to give up picks.
Yeah.
I think they feel like they want to build a team. Mm-hmm. And it's easy to sit here and say we'd like to upgrade the quarterback position. They've essentially made that fairly clear, but I don't think they would give up their draft to do that.
You know, I would say this. If they traded up, I don't see them trading from 21-22 to get up into the top five to get a running back.
And you'd have to give you'd have to give up maybe more than that to get into the top five.
The top five, right.
Yeah,
so you're giving up a lot to get up there and take a running back. I just don't.
Although I will say this, and I've had this conversation with a lot of people. There's been a theory out there for a number of years now that you should not take running backs high.
Mm-hmm.
There's this belief that, hey, it's a quarterback-driven league, and don't take running backs high. I don't believe that. I believe if a player is a game changer, he's worth taking high.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Leonard Fournette last year, taking four. Ezekiel Elliott the year before, taking four. If you view a player as a game changer, then you take that player.
Greg Cosello is our guest, executive producer, analyst of NFL Matchup on ESPN. It's been, the Bills, you know, did their media obligations Wednesday. It's been kind of quiet. We know they have their eye on quarterbacks. But moreover, I think Bills fans get the sense that with Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott, these two have a plan.
I
think they feel like they're in good hands going into this draft, whether they make a move up or not.
I would agree with that. And I think they're both very conscious of team building as opposed to one player being the team. And while that, as I said, that doesn't mean they don't want to upgrade the quarterback position. They've made that clear. But I think that their bigger focus, particularly in a year when you have five of the first 95 and 21 and 22, and those are not bad picks to have in the first round, I think they, personally, I believe that they will want to make these picks,
mm-hmm.
and they will want to build a team. And if they have to line up with Tyrod Taylor, then the more team you build around him, the better off you are. And let's keep in mind, I don't think anybody thought that the Bills were a Super Bowl contender this year, but they were a playoff team in Sean McDermott's first year. So there's a lot to build upon.
Quarterbacks are going to throw tomorrow, Greg.
Yeah.
I wonder, if you're telling fans when they watch tomorrow, what should they look for? What kind of things will you be looking for when the quarterbacks are throwing?
Well, what I particularly like, and I'm very fortunate that I can be on the field, is I like to see the ball come out of a quarterback's hand live. And I'm down there, and I can be 10 feet away, and I can see that. And there's just something about seeing a quarterback throw live when you're that close that's just a little different than watching it on tape. But, you know, it's funny. A lot of the things that I think people make a big deal about with this, I don't know. I don't. I mean, I have a tough time talking about a guy's accuracy when they're going through drills with receivers that, you know, there's no timing and rhythm involved here at all.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's very difficult for me to get worked up about the workout per se, but I do like watching them throw the ball live.
Now, you see a guy throw one up into the second row of the stands.
that's a little bit of a problem. That's a little bit of a problem.
They won't be thrown in the stands, though. So let's talk about some of these. Now, Sam Darnold will not throw tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm kind of disappointed.
Yeah, me too.
That.
Does that affect his status at all, though?
No. I mean, you know how that goes, Murph. If you've been doing this long enough. I mean, it's become a situation where it doesn't matter for these top quarterbacks. But over the last couple of years, they've all pretty much thrown.
Yeah.
And you just, you know, when I read that he wasn't throwing, I was kind of disappointed.
It's an agent-driven league, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, the agents drive this thing. No, but what do you see in – because everybody talks about Rosen as being the prettiest passer in this draft. But nobody has him as that consensus number one overall pick. Everybody has Darnold going ahead of Rosen.
Well, this gets Darnold to something I've been giving a lot of thought to over the last couple of years, and there's no answer to this. It's just a question. And different coaches come down differently on this. It's where do you stand on the balance between pocket efficiency, which 20 years ago, that's all people talked about. You guys know that.
Mm-hmm.
But where do you stand on the balance between pocket efficiency and now the ability to make secondary action improvisational plays? And depending on where you fall on that line will dictate how you might feel versus a Josh Rosen and a Sam Darnold.
Where do they rank there?
Well, Darnold is more of what I'd call a baller than than opposed to a technician. He is more of a second reaction, improvisational type player, whereas Rosen is a pocket efficiency kind of quarterback who, while he's not unathletic, is not going to make a lot of those improvisational plays. It's like Pat Mahomes. Last year I talked to a couple of coaches who told me, God, I really don't like that guy because there's no discipline and structure to his game. Then I talked to some other coaches who told me, man, I love that guy because he can make plays running around.
Yeah.
So it's where do you fall on that balance between pocket efficiency, which Rosen is the best of this group at pocket efficiency, and it's not really that close, versus second reaction improvisation, which Darnold, that's more of his game at this moment in time.
Yeah, yeah.
But Darnold's only 20 years old, and that's a big factor here. He's a moldable piece of clay, mm-hmm. and I think people will feel that he can be coached and coached well, and he can really develop into a high-level player.
Now, a lot of people are talking about Lamar Jackson and Buffalo still being there at 21, 22. And as you talk about, where do you stand on that line of making plays within the pocket, making plays outside the pocket? You know he's that guy that's going to make plays outside the pocket. But everybody's saying, a lot of people are saying, he's been asked to now come out here and work out as a wide receiver.
And that bothers me.
I mean,
I think he's a quarterback. I understand the thought process because as an athlete, he's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
But the guy's a quarterback, and if you watch him play, as I have done, and when I watch these guys, I watch five or six full games. I actually watched him last year, too. I watch five or six full games on the coaching tape. I watch all their third downs, and I watch their 15-plus plays because I like to see how they make their good plays. And then I'll often watch their interceptions and their sacks as well. And he's a quarterback. Now, having said that, does that mean he doesn't need work? Of course, they all need work. Mm-hmm. They're college players. But he is not a guy that drops back and just looks to take off. He's a good thrower, not a great thrower. But he comes from a system with Bobby Petrino where there's a lot of pro pass game concepts, so he's familiar with a lot of those. I think he's a quarterback. I don't see why you can't put him in an offense like Bill O'Brien did with Deshaun Watson. And Watson was more refined than, mm-hmm. than Jackson, but I'm just talking about style
right.
and tactics and approach. Put him in that kind of offense, and he can't succeed.
What if you're a team that doesn't need a quarterback or doesn't need a quarterback right away, and you have full appreciation for Lamar Jackson's athletic ability and how he might be able to help you out as a wide receiver?
And that becomes the issue, Murph. It's just like, if you draft him and you have a quarterback and you feel like, wow, this guy's the most explosive athlete on our team, then you start thinking we want him on the field. And, of course, you're trying to win games.
Yeah.
But that will hinder his development as a quarterback. and you know, he's in a tough spot because I guarantee he believes that he's a quarterback.
Yeah.
And that's what he wants to play. And that's, in my opinion, that's what he is. He's a quarterback.
Now, if it's one thing for the media to say that you should switch over to wide receiver. It's another thing for teams to actually ask you to work out
right.
as a wide receiver. When you do that, or when they do that, at that point you have to say to yourself, okay, let me go out here and work out as a wide receiver. Or do you say to yourself,
I don't know.
No, I want to be a quarterback. Because that can take you off some teams' draft boards.
And it might.
Yeah.
And I guess then he consults with his agents, as you said. It's an agent league. And he has to decide what he's going. I guess we're going to find that out tomorrow.
Yeah.
But I firmly believe that he can play quarterback in the NFL. And I don't see why he can't. I'm not going to sit here and tell you he's going to be a top five quarterback. No, these are all projections.
Yeah.
You know, we can look at tape. We can see what traits are. We can all project and transition, but we can't say anything as a statement of fact.
Now, speaking of projections, and you can look at certain guys' physical tools. You can look at their pocket presence. You can look at their leadership ability, all of that stuff when talking about quarterbacks. Baker Mayfield is an interesting prospect, and everybody, his knock is his height.
Right.
Do you feel like he can get it done at this level?
I do.
At that size.
And here's what really, really turned the corner for me, Donald. When I went through all of his 15-plus yard plays, and there might have been 125 of them,
mm-hmm.
only six or seven of them came outside of structure. The rest were timing, structured, rhythm throws.
Mm-hmm.
And I came away from that thinking to myself, wow, this guy, contrary to what I think I was led to believe by a lot of people, because I don't sit and watch a ton of college football on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was led to believe he was kind of a runaround guy.
Yeah.
You know, his big plays were not like that at all. Now, does that mean he doesn't need work? Of course it does, because I watched all his third downs, and they got blitzed an awful lot, and he really struggled with blitz. And obviously, that's going to have to be cleaned up.
Mm-hmm.
But again, all these quarterbacks have some kind of flaw. But I think Baker Mayfield can be a quality starting quarterback in this league.
We're at the NFL Combine. John Murphy, Donald Jones, talking with Greg Cosell, senior producer, NFL Films, executive producer, analyst for NFL Matchup on ESPN. They all have flaws. Josh Allen's flaw, it appears, the Wyoming quarterback, is accuracy. But if you pointed out, don't look for answers to that in tomorrow's workouts, right?
No, I don't think you're going to see that tomorrow.
He's the guy that Donald thinks is going to throw it in the second row.
He's a fascinating guy.
He might break a seat in the second row, though. Yeah. You know, he has the arm strength. We know that.
See, it's funny, Murph, you mentioned him, because to me he points out the difference between arm strength and arm talent, which are two different things. Mm-hmm. Arm strength is the ability to throw the ball with power and throw it hard, and he can do that. I mean, he's got a big arm. But arm talent has to do with the ability to make all the necessary throws that involve touch, timing, firm throws but not strikes. You know, there's different kinds of throws mm-hmm. that quarterbacks have to make. That to me is what arm talent is. Arm strength is just the ability to drive the football
right.
with power. He can drive the football with power, but he's really not refined yet in terms of arm talent.
Now, we were talking yesterday. Do you feel like these are things that you can actually develop here at this level? These seem like things that it would be hard to develop something like that for a guy who has been playing this way, who has the big physical
right,
arm
right.
to now be able to, you know, take some touch, you know, use some touch and things like that.
Donald, theoretically, yes.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't always work that way.
Right.
Then you have to decide because, as Murph mentioned too, he's not really that accurate. His ball placement is really not precise on routine-type throws, even on some completions. Like, let's say he's throwing a shallow cross. He'll throw it to the back shoulder of the guy.
Yeah.
You know, the guy has to slow down to catch it. It might be a completion, but a play that could have been 15 yards with some run after catch,
mm-hmm.
the guy has to slow down, and he gets tackled for a 5-yard gain.
Right.
You know,
right.
so even things like that, he's not a consistently accurate thrower on what are viewed as routine throws.
And yet, Josh Allen's going to be a first-rounder, wouldn't you think?
Well, he's almost 6'5". He's almost yeah. 240. He's got the power arm. He's got great movement. I mean, he makes – probably his 25 best plays, if you put a tape together of everybody's 25 best, his 25 best would be the biggest wows of all.
Now, okay, so let's compare – and I don't know if you would like to do something like this. You take a guy last year in Pat Mahomes, same
yeah.
physical tools, and Josh Allen, who was more ready to play in this league coming out of college right away?
Well, if you're asking that as an absolute, they're probably equally not ready.
Okay.
You know, but Mahomes was fascinating, and I mentioned him earlier because mm-hmm. he's an easier thrower than Allen. Allen's arm, again, arm strength, they're both at a high level of arm strength, so that would be a nitpick.
Mm-hmm.
I think Mahomes is a smoother and easier thrower of the football.
Right.
But both guys were, you know, not really disciplined. There was a looseness. There's a looseness to their games that I think needs to be channeled.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm a big believer in coaching. Then it comes down to coaching.
Right.
Any other quarterbacks in this year's draft class at this combine that you'll be keeping an eye on? Anyone we should keep an eye on?
You know, I haven't studied him yet on film, but a name that I keep hearing from people is the Richmond quarterback, Kyle Auletta,
yeah.
who I guess at the Senior Bowl turned some heads. Chase Litton from Marshall, and there's Mason Rudolph from Oklahoma State. I think those are three names that probably will interest me. Rudolph I've done, Litton I've done, Auletta I've not done yet.
And when you say done, you're talking about exhaustive film
Correct.
Review.
Correct.
Right? I mean, that's
Correct.
What you mean.
Right, because as I said, what I do with quarterbacks is usually 5-6 games, sometimes more if I'm struggling in my own mind.
Right.
You know, sometimes more, and then all third downs. And I'll look at then specialized situations. I could look at red zone, interceptions, sacks. As I said, all 15 plus. You know, I try to get a really big picture of a quarterback.
Now, do you go back and look at the guy's previous years to see if there was some improvement?
Sometimes, yes. Because last summer I had some time. And I actually watched about 40 players last summer from their 2016 tape, guys who I thought would come out. And I did a bunch of the quarterbacks last summer as well.
Greg Cosell, executive producer, analyst, NFL Matchup on ESPN. Quarterbacks on the field tomorrow, throwing to wide receivers. there's a good group of wide receivers here. Can you give us a...
It's the sexiest group in the NFL. Let's just put that out there.
This is the constant.
Are they important
thing.
In the NFL?
Constant from him. It's important to the Bills. The Bills need a wide
they
receiver.
They do.
Who do you like? Who are you going to look
well,
at tomorrow?
Well, Calvin Ridley, to me, is fascinating. You know, it'll be interesting how he's viewed by teams because he'll be 190 pounds, which nowadays people don't view as a big receiver. Mm-hmm. But as Donald knows, there's a lot that goes into playing receiver, but when all's said and done, receiver needs to separate and catch the ball.
Yeah,
that's what he needs to do. And Calvin Ridley can do that. It's funny. I had a great conversation with your old buddy Bill Polian,
mm-hmm.
and he thought that he looked very much like Marvin Harrison.
Mm.
You know, because Marvin was not a big man.
Right. No.
But he could separate,
yeah.
and he could catch the football.
Yeah.
And Calvin Ridley kind of has that look to him.
Now, go ahead.
I was about to say, a lot of people have James Washington and Courtland Sutton kind of in the same group. Which one do you see will go before the other?
You know, Sutton and I watched – what I tend to do with receivers is I usually get to games, but I watch all their pass targets.
Mm-hmm.
And that gives me a pretty good feel. Sutton, I don't know. I didn't come away big-time impressed. And I've tried to learn over the years, Donald, bigger receivers often can move better than you think they move because they're striders more ground.
Mm-hmm.
But when I say I wasn't as impressed, I'm talking about being a top 15 kind of player.
Mm-hmm.
I think he has a chance to be a real solid NFL wide receiver. Not everybody needs to be explosive. Look at what Alshon Jeffrey has done in this league. He's not explosive, but he's a big guy who can line up in different spots. Sutton is probably similar to that. Part of me thought there were times he could move inside, the way Sean Payton used to use Marcus Colston, inside working against linebackers mm-hmm. and safeties, and you get mismatches with a big receiver.
Right.
So, you know, he'll play in the league and he'll probably be a good player, but I didn't see him, let's say, as you would see Mike Evans. I didn't see him at that level.
Gotcha.
I think the Bills need speed, and I wondered about the Texas A&M wideout Christian Kirk.
Yeah.
Do you know about him?
I do know about him. I saw him on tape. He's an interesting guy. He's built like a running back. He's a tough kid. He played a ton in the slot in this last year at A&M. But I think in today's NFL, with the way teams move receivers around, he doesn't have to be Murph solely in the slot. But that's where he played. I think there is a little more explosiveness to him. He's not Ridley, but I think there's a little more explosiveness to him. And I think he's a good prospect.
We talked at the top here, Greg, about the Bills' overall approach to this draft. 5 picks in the top 95, 2 in the first, 2 in the second. Is this a good draft to have that much capital to work with, or is it just a special draft for a couple of players jump up there? And then
I'm always a believer, Murph, that it's always a good draft if you know what you're doing. If you know what you're doing and you draft well, yeah. And I'm not saying I know the answer to that, but I think there's always good players. It's just it's matching player with scheme and adaptability. You know, what are you looking for? Because let's face it, teams draft need. They mm-hmm. don't just, I mean, they all say they're going to take the best player available.
Right.
But if you have a weakness that you really want to address, you try to address it. Now, having said that, you don't draft the 45th best player on your board at 21, but if he's the 27th best player on your board, you certainly can take him at 21 if he fills a need.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So teams, you know, they try to mix and match, but you certainly want to come away in, if you're Buffalo, in this draft, you talked about wide receiver. You'd really like to increase the competition of wide receiver coming out of this draft.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, absolutely.
All right. Greg, it's great to see you face-to-face as opposed to just down the line. It's good
yeah,
to see
you. Yeah, no, it's great to be with you guys.
I did the show at Super Bowl with Tasker. That was good, too.
Oh, well, Tasker doesn't come to the combine, huh?
No, he's a little bit better.
He's big time.
He's big time in you guys?
Yeah.
You know.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks.
Okay. Greg Cosell, right. Executive Producer, Analyst, NFL Matchup on ESPN. Senior producer for NFL Films. He's with us. He'll be with us every Friday leading up to the draft, so about 6 more weeks until that. We thank him for joining us here. Donald and I back with more in a moment. John Murphy Show from the NFL Scouting Combine on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
And welcome back to the NFL Combine. I'm Donald Jones. Earlier today, we had a chance. Actually, Murph had a chance to get up out of seat. We've been sitting here for a while. He had a chance to get up out of seat. He went across the street to Lucas Oil Field and he had a chance to actually catch up with former safety and now draft analyst on NFL.com, NFL Network, Charles Davis. Murph, take it away.
Charles Davis from the NFL Network getting ready for a big weekend. You guys are going to put in some hours over the next few days.
Yeah, I think we are, but, you know, everybody here is. You putting in the hours. Think about all those coaches and coaching staffs here to evaluate. I get to sit on my backside and yak. Mine's not so bad.
You're yakking and people are listening. And here's the thing. This thing has grown so much. This combine has grown so much. Even in the last 8 to 10 years, this will be the biggest sports event on television this weekend, probably in the entire month.
And think about this, John. In our lifetime, if someone had come to us 20 years ago and said, we're going to televise and turn this into one of the biggest spectacles out there, one of the biggest sporting events out there, would either one of us have, no. I think we probably would have looked at that person and said, we're going to walk you to someone right now and get you some help. And instead, here we all are.
Yeah.
People are tuned in. People are watching. People are legitimately taking days off from work, DVRing it. Can you imagine a person comes home and finds out they didn't set the extra time on the DVR? I didn't see the last 40s run. But that's what it's turned into.
It's big this year also because of the quarterbacks, and the Buffalo Bills are right in the middle of the quarterback push, I guess. What do you think of this group, and how do you think this will play out over the weekend with the quarterbacks here?
Yeah, it's a good crop of quarterbacks, and I think that when we started the season, you know how it is. It's all the fanfare, and these are the greatest kids we've ever seen. Then you watch the season play out. You see some of the warts that come in. You see some of the issues. But overall, very good prospects. Josh Rosen from UCLA, I think he's the best pure thrower in the whole group. If it was simply a throwing contest, he's winning it, and everyone else is playing for second. Josh Allen from Wyoming's got the biggest arm. So in a place like Buffalo, you're not worried about weather with him. He's going to cut right through it. If you're talking about a Sam Darnold, he's not going to throw here. But he's a magical kind of a kid. He creates extra plays, a little bit extra time, finds people downfield. Lamar Jackson, he's the best wild card we've got because, God, he can fly. He can do everything. Mason Rudolph, highly productive at Oklahoma State. I mean, we're talking about a bunch of guys. I didn't even mention the Heisman Trophy winner, Baker Mayfield. Yeah. And I think 10 years ago, we would have automatically relegated Baker Mayfield to third round, fourth round because of his size. Now we're talking about him being maybe a top 10 pick because of his production and playmaking abilities.
What is it about Josh Rosen as the best arm, the best passer, you say here, that gives teams reservations about him?
I think a lot of it is people want to know about him as a person. There's been a lot of discussion. Is he enough of a leader? Is he a guy that guys want to play for? Will he galvanize a team in a locker room? You know, I don't really buy into the old, does he love the game enough? I think we overdo that sometimes. But is he the guy that when you go into that huddle, are people going to look at him and say, I believe in what Josh is putting out there? Those are things he has to answer, not his on-field talent. On-field talent, throwing the football, John, my goodness, the kid can fling it.
And Lamar Jackson has become almost a polarizing figure. Some people think, sure, he's a quarterback. Others have doubts about that.
Yeah, I think he's a quarterback. I think he's a quarterback through and through. My comparison to him is how Dak Prescott progressed during college. Now, they are different body types. I mean, Dak's a big old, thick, solid guy. And this guy is much more of a willowy type of a figure, Lamar Jackson is. But both of them improved as throwers their last year in school. Both of them became more accurate. Both of them became better in the pocket. And then, of course, their splendiferous gifts with their legs really help set them apart. And Lamar Jackson, I think he's a legit guy who's going to – a legit 4.5 or below guy. And for a quarterback, that's extremely fast because we call fast quarterbacks 4.65.
Hey, the Bills, the Buffalo Bills are said to be interested in front seven help. They need help on the defensive front seven. Who are some of the key players that fans should keep an eye on this weekend?
Well, if you talk about front seven, Vita Vea from Washington, I've had some scouts tell me they think he might be the best player overall in the draft, which is really high praise for a guy who plays defensive tackle. But when you watch some of the hustle plays he makes, you'll see him. Bradley Chubb come from North Carolina State coming off the edge. Problem for the Bills fans, he's probably going to be gone pretty early in this whole process. So if the Bills want to use some capital to move up, he would be a guy to go get because he can flat out go out and get it done. You know, I think a guy who's a terrific player is Tremaine Edmonds from Virginia Tech, a linebacker that you can play outside, you can play inside, about 6'4", 6'5", 250 pounds that can flat out run. He's really exciting for me, and he brings back nightmares because I played against his dad. All right, I played against his father in college, who was a three-time All-Pro Bowl tight end for the Miami Dolphins, and he beat me on a touchdown pass that Frank Reich threw. And Frank Reich still teases me about that to this day. So congratulations to Frank on his new job, and my nightmares continue.
Last thing, the Bills do have draft capital, 5 picks in the first 3 rounds. Is this a draft? Is there enough talent that maybe they should just sit tight and use those picks? Or is it the kind of draft where, you know, put them together and move up, get a premium quality player?
Well, I think the Bills are right there on the edge of really contending to be a one of those playoff teams in AFC East. If there's someone that they really like, use that draft capital, go get them. There's plenty of talent in here. I'm not saying that. But if you got conviction on a guy, this is a good time to go get him.
Go get him. Charles, thanks for this. Have a great weekend.
Hey, thanks a lot. And, hey, our best to Jim Kelly and his family out there. Kelly strong, Kelly tough. We all want to be there with him.
Thanks.
Thank you.
And thanks, Murph. And like we said, we kept Murph busy a little bit this morning, tried to run him around a little bit. He also had a chance to sit down with Charles Davis' partner on NFL.com. You'll see him on the Path to the Draft show. They do it all the way through the draft. Daniel Jeremiah. Murph, take it away.
Daniel Jeremiah from the NFL Network getting set for a big weekend. What is your focus going to be on this weekend as we watch watch the combine workouts?
To me, it's just trying to separate these clumps. I feel like more than any other year, we've got groups of guys together at almost every single position. So you can go from the running back, who's going to be that second running back, trying to sort that out. We got big wide receiver clump. We got 7 guys over 6'4", so trying to sort them out. And then a group of corners I can't wait to watch work out here.
There's no question who the number one running back is, right?
Yeah, no, the number one running back I think is pretty established with Saquon Barkley, but I think that battle for number two between Sony Michel, Ronald Jones, Darius Geis, that's going to be fun to watch.
We're interested in quarterbacks, obviously. Many cities are. What do you think of that group, and what will you learn from watching those throwing exercises out here tomorrow?
Yeah, no, look, no Sam Darnold, so we won't see him, but you've got the other big four, so I think there's 5 of them total. So Darnold's not throwing, but you still got Rosen, Mayfield, Allen, and then Lamar Jackson. To watch those guys throw is going to be fun. I'm looking forward to seeing Lamar Jackson mechanically, if he's cleaned some stuff up with his feet. That'll be fun to watch. And then who's going to be the next quarterback in that second tier? I think we're going to see another mini run on quarterbacks probably in the second or third round, and that's Kyle Auletta from Richmond, who's a good player, Luke Falk from Washington State, Mason Rudolph from Oklahoma State. So who's going to jump ahead of the pack in that group?
Auletta, Falk, Mason Rudolph, those are second rounders though, right? Not likely to be
yes.
First.
No, I think that's a second round group, but we've seen it before. If we get an early run on these top guys, and let's say these top 5 guys fly off the board in the top 15, which is not the craziest thing that could ever happen, maybe one of those guys sneaks into the back of the first round.
What would you do if you were the Buffalo Bills, knowing what they have? They have Tyrod Taylor still under contract. They have a nice crop of free agents to look at and all of these potential rookies. What would you do?
Well, I think you get in your meetings and find out if you have conviction. If you've got a conviction on however many quarterbacks that is, and one of them gets within striking distance with all the draft capital that you have, you got a chance to get them. Go get them. Be aggressive. Make that happen. We've seen the Rams, obviously, have some success with that. The Philadelphia Eagles coming off of a Super Bowl. Being aggressive. If you have conviction, if you have conviction on a guy, don't sit and wait for him. Go get him.
It's important, isn't it, to have conviction on a quarterback, but not necessarily force him into being a starter in his rookie year.
Yeah, that's the problem. See, if you sit where you are and then you're trying to make somebody something that they aren't, you know, to me, that's why you say, okay, we think there's 3 elite quarterbacks, and we have in the meetings, if one of these guys gets to pick 8, 9, 10, we have a deal worked out where we can go up there and get him. But don't end up reaching for a guy sitting where you are, or don't go up for somebody that you don't have conviction in the room.
Last question for you, Daniel. Who is one guy that fans at home should watch for that you'll be most excited to see on the field here this week?
Ooh, that is a good one. I'll tell you what, a guy that is not really well known, Kalen Ballage from Arizona State, is a running back who is going to be, he's 220 plus pounds, and he is going to roll out here. He'll be fun to watch.
Have a great weekend. Thanks very much.
Thanks, John. It's good to see you.
Daniel Jeremiah from the NFL Network.
And thanks, Murph, for sitting down with those guys. Thank you for those guys for actually joining us and giving their more than 2 cents on the draft. Murph, what was something that you took away from? Yeah, 3 or 4 cents. What was something that you took away from both of them?
The quarterback question. I think everybody here, you can speak to this too. Every media person here is intrigued by how much movement there could be at quarterback with the free agent class coming out less than 2 weeks now until March 14th, and with the good, maybe not great, but good group of quarterbacks that are here in this draft class, there's going to be a lot going on over the next 6 weeks, and it starts in a couple of weeks when free agency begins. I was talking to a radio guy from Denver, from the Broncos radio network, telling him, look, Cousins has got to be the guy, right? And he said, yeah, but they're worried about Minnesota. And, of course, the Jets have money to spend. Kirk Cousins, I think, could be the first card to drop. And once that happens, maybe it'll happen March 14th, maybe even sooner, you know, when they get the legal tampering period to talk with them 2 days before free agency opens. Once that card drops, though, I think things will happen quickly for the free agents, and then you wait about 5 weeks from then until you get to the draft. and things will begin to happen. Greg Cosell, who was our guest a few minutes ago, I think had a pretty accurate read on where the Bills are. Excuse me. When he talked about how they would probably prefer not to package up a bunch of picks and move up to get Rosen or Darnold. And a lot of it is because of where they see this team is.
They can package him and go up to get me. You know what I mean? Definitely.
No, how would that help?
I don't know.
No, but really.
I mean, I guess my broad jump. I don't deserve to be up that high.
No, but they could do that, but it doesn't seem to follow with the way they've – and we only have the one draft to look at last year with McDermott, and obviously Brandon Bean has never had a draft. But to have that many picks, five in the first 95, I think they're going to want to use those picks. Get this team better. I don't know what their answer is going to be at quarterback, and I don't think right now they know what it is either. Greg Cosell talked about how, Tyrod Taylor, I still don't think he's really actively in play for the Bills. They won't rule him out, obviously, and won't until they have to, but I don't know what their quarterback's going to look like, but I have a feeling they're going to use, those premium draft picks, all five of them, five in the first 95.
Yeah, I think they're going to use them all. I think they'll sit there and draft a quarterback. If they want to take a quarterback, it's going to be somewhere in those first five picks. I don't know if it's going to be the first pick, second pick. It could be the last of those five picks. I don't know, but I think they are truly going to let this draft play out, and this is going to come back to haunt us. I mean, their draft day is going to come around. They're going to trade up to number one overall.
Make
some crazy deal.
Well, I mean, they're crazy. Exactly. Let's face it. They
work some stuff, man. Yeah. These guys are like master negotiators or something. I don't know what the deal is. But I love the moves that they've made thus far. I think, though, they truly want to build this thing through the draft.
Yeah.
I can't really see them saying that or actually trading up and giving away everything to try to get up there and get one of those guys, just because they have so many holes to fill on this team. And I know a lot of people are saying, well, it doesn't matter if you don't have a quarterback. Well, it doesn't matter if you have the top quarterback and you don't have a team around him. You know, what are you going to get the top quarterback? He's going to play right away, and you're going to have a terrible team around him because you have nothing else to actually get some weapons. It's not like you're playing with a whole boatload of money like the Cleveland Browns have or the Jets have, where you can bring some guys in through free agency. You don't have that much money to spend in free agency, right? So you need to build this thing through the draft. And people also complain about, well, you're bringing in all of these guys on one-year contracts and stuff like that. Well, how do you eliminate that? You eliminate that by drafting guys and developing those guys and getting those guys to play well right away. And then you have teams that are going to the playoffs year after year. And then you can worry about re-signing those guys after that.
We're at the NFL Combine, where the workouts are underway right next door at Lucas Oil Stadium. The running back's running right now. I think it's safe to say until tomorrow, when quarterbacks hit the field, that the star of the Combine so far, Donald, has been Penn State running back Saquon Barkley, right?
Yeah, 4.41.
4.41 he just
unofficial,
ran
in the 40.
He leads the running backs.
I mean,
all of them have run yet. But
this is crazy.
29 reps bench press yesterday at 225. That was very impressive.
Yeah.
And as Cosell said, and I talked to him a little bit after he was on with us, if he had run 4.39 in the 40, would you think any different?
He'll probably run the second one faster.
You expect him to be the best here, and he's certainly holding up that end of the bargain for himself.
I'd expect him to run a 4.39 his next go around.
Be better?
Yeah, I see him actually having a better time. I watched this kid play in high school, and the kid was a beast, lightning fast. And he's been on social media just doing all types of things, crazy stuff, putting up crazy numbers. He's Olympic cleaning crazy numbers. And so that doesn't shock me. Any number that he puts up here is not going to shock me. When you actually look at the way he's built, he should be putting up numbers like that. Now, you look at some of the rest of the running backs. I know a lot of people are watching. Darius Geist, the kid out of LSU, good time for him at 4.49. Nick Chubb, 4.53. People say, well, he's not in the 4.4s. 4.53 for a running back in this league is a very good number, especially at their size. You know, so 4.53 for him. He's a good one. The one that I question is the Ronald Jones number, and I can't even see it. That's how low it was. It's not even in the top 10 right now on this list, and I'd have to actually bring that up. But he's going to have to run a better time than he did thus far. And I saw him walking, it looked like with one of the trainers, so I'm not sure if something happened to him during that run. Sometimes guys will pull up or something like that. But I think he needs a better number. But these guys are putting up good numbers, and I'm interested to see the second time around.
Ronald Jones, I got to hear the USC running 4.66. You think he should be better than that?
Yeah, he needs to at least be in the 4.5s, you know. And that probably won't hurt him. He's still a very good player coming out of USC. Those running backs typically do well in this league. Do they? Some of them have done well in this league. Some of them haven't. But I think teams are really high on him. I could see him being at least a second-round pick. But I think they want to see him run a little bit better than 4.66.
Well, the running backs will have one more crack at it in the 40-yard dash right down the street at Lucas Oil Stadium. In the meantime, we had drama here about an hour ago. We should report on that. The coin toss was held between the San Francisco 49ers and the Oakland Raiders. Believe it or not, they had a crowd, probably 400 or 500 fans watching a coin toss, trying to determine who would get the 9th pick in the draft, who would get the 10th pick in the draft. The 49ers won the toss. They'll pick 9th. The Raiders will pick 10th. Those two teams finished with the same 6-10 record last year and the same strength of schedule numbers at 5-12. So the 49ers won the coin toss today.
I mean,
and Jimmy Garoppolo was the lead. No.
Yeah.
Good for them. But yeah, there were 405 in the bench press area over there.
People just watching the coin toss. I mean, they had – who they had? Rob Woodson up there. They had Chucky up there, Gruden. They had –
Shanahan was up there, I think, the Niners coach, wasn't he?
Was Shanahan up there?
Yeah.
I thought it was Lynch.
Oh, it was Lynch. It was Lynch. You're right.
Yeah.
The GM,
and then it was Reggie Nelson, right?
Yeah.
The GM for the Raiders. So maybe people just wanted to see those guys because they are some famous names and all that stuff. But, yeah, I mean, the NFL makes it a way to make a spectacle out of everything. Let's
coin
put it
toss.
On the – yeah, the coin toss. We're going to do it on the bench press. They're going to have what's his name? Siciliano?
Yeah,
the big
Andrew.
Ears? Yeah, Andrew. He's the one that –
is he right behind us still? He was back here a few minutes ago with the big ears.
With the big ears. He flew away. he's the one that did the coin toss, and everybody wanted to watch that. I mean, everybody's finding – I mean, you see people just walking around here looking at everything out here.
Yeah, they're going to start in a few minutes, by the way. They're going to start the bench press again with, I believe, the quarterbacks at 2 o'clock today. And quarterbacks will be meeting with the media in the other side of this room a little bit later on.
Later, right?
We've got a lot more to talk about. We'd love to include you. The phone line's open, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Maybe you'd like to engage in our Twitter poll and talk about that. Two things up on our Twitter poll today. First of all, quarterback wide receivers workout tomorrow here at the Combine. Which quarterback prospect will you be watching the closest when they're on TV on NFL Network tomorrow? And what would be your best NFL Combine drill? Maybe it's the Wonderlic test. That's mine. 44% say that would be the one you would excel in. 35% of you on Twitter say the 40-yard dash. 13% say the bench press. 8% say the vertical jump. Give us a call. We'll talk about either one of those issues. Your specialty at the Combine, or which quarterback are you most interested in tomorrow? Give us a call. Line's open, 803-0550, and toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Donald and I back with more in a moment. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. We're coming to you live from the NFL Scouting Combine in Indy, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the NFL Scouting Combine. John Murphy, Donald Jones, and our studio here, Radio Row. Coming up at 2 o'clock, Rick Neuheisel, former UCLA football coach, University of Colorado coach, former UCLA quarterback. He was the MVP of the Rose Bowl back in like 1984 or so. We'll ask him about quarterbacks. He knows about quarterbacks. He coached quarterbacks with the Baltimore Ravens a little bit in the NFL. Donald, a little snowstorm back in Buffalo.
Yeah, it's a little storm. I'm a little bit nervous. I'm supposed to be flying out of here. I'm not going back to Buffalo, going to Jersey, but it's a storm
here.
In Jersey.
Oh,
yeah, it's sunny here, but it's a storm in Jersey, and I'm scared I'm going to be stuck in Detroit, and you guys are going to be driving past me going home, and I'm going to have to stay in Detroit for the night. You know,
it's always weather with you.
It's always weather. I mean, I should have been a weather guy.
Yeah,
I should have been. Saquon Barkley's about to run his second 40.
First one, 4.41, and right. he leads the running backs, at least in that unofficial time, and a second one coming up. You mentioned the USC running back, Jones, earlier. Turns out, according to our friend Kim Jones, at, what did he run, 4.42?
4.42. I thought he was going to be faster. These unofficial times, people.
Yeah. Jones, the USC running back, with, I think, a hamstring tightness, which slowed him down, and he may not be able to run again. So I think you were right on that when you talked about how he didn't look right when he ran that, huh?
Yeah, no, he didn't look right. And then he was walking with somebody with a red shirt, and those guys are the trainers. And so typically if you feel anything while you're running a 40 here, you will say, you know what? And that doesn't mean he pulled anything. It just means that he felt something, and it's time to, okay, let's dial it back, because he still has his pro day. He has to be ready for his pro day. And these guys, I mean, if Saquon Barkley is official at a 4.41, his best time here, he'll probably end up running something faster when he gets to his pro day.
Yeah. The other running back, and I think Cosell was interested in this guy, Kalen Ballage, 4.57 in his second attempt, 4.46 in his first attempt. He's a running back from Arizona State. There's some good running backs here.
Oh, yeah, it's some definite good running backs. That's kind of a big range, though.
Yeah.
You know, you go, 4.46 and then 4.57, that's a big range. So they're going to want to see him do it at his pro day just to get a consistent number of where he actually is. And then obviously they're going to look back on tape and they're going to say, well, does he play at a 4.4? Does he play at a 4.5? You know, and that could be something that could hurt him. Nick Chubb, the running back out of Georgia, is actually about to run. His first time was a 4.53. And we'll see what he gets on his second one if he ends up a little bit better than that. 4.58 unofficial on his second one. So I think that's a good time for him. He's a big physical running back. He's like a man amongst boys. I think 4.58, 4.53 is good times for him.
Most of us think the Bills will add running back, at least one, to the roster. I don't think it'll come in the first three rounds.
No.
You?
I don't see it coming that early. Because what are you drafting? A guy to replace LeSean McCoy? You draft somebody in the first round, that means you're drafting somebody to replace LeSean McCoy. And that, for me, if you draft a guy in the first round, even in the second round, you want those guys to play right now.
Yeah.
LeSean McCoy is a three-down back. Greg Cosell talked about this.
Yeah.
He is a three-down back. He is a guy
who showing no signs of slowing down.
Right, of slowing down. Now, who knows? Next year, maybe he will show some signs. But that's why you can draft – for me, you can draft a guy in the third round, in the fourth round,
in the fifth round somewhere.
Yeah, anywhere in those rounds, there's still going to be some good running backs on the board
that
you can take to come in and back up LeSean McCoy. And hopefully that kid can be the number one running back in a couple of years. You got to believe LeSean McCoy still has 2 years.
Yeah,
of good
I would
play.
Think so.
Yeah.
Focus for the Bills, certainly the focus for Bills fans, quarterbacks. We're going to talk to a quarterback expert coming up after the top of the hour. Rick Neuheisel, former head coach at University of Colorado and UCLA. He coached quarterbacks for the Baltimore Ravens and was offensive coordinator for a year with the Baltimore Ravens in the NFL. He'll be joining us when we come back here at the Combine. So stick around for that. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, from the Combine on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
Update comes from the NFL Combine inside the Convention Center in downtown Indianapolis. First day for on-field work inside Lucas Oil Stadium. Running backs on the field right now going through workouts. Bills coaches and scouts watching them in the workouts today. Running backs on the field. And Penn State's Saquon Barkley is the standout. He ran a 4.41 in the 40-yard dash, the best time in the 40-yard dash. He jumped 41 inches in the vertical leap. Best jump by any running back. By far the best performance by a running back here at the Combine. Quarterbacks, wide receivers hit the field tomorrow. Ohio State center Billy Price suffered an incomplete tear of his left pectoral muscle during his bench press workout here yesterday. The two-time All-American with 55 consecutive starts for the Buckeyes was checked out, had an MRI. He said the injury is minor, says he should be fine going into training camp. They held the coin toss here today between the 49ers and the Raiders to determine the 9th and 10th overall picks in the draft. 49ers won the toss. They'll pick 9th, with the Raiders picking 10th. And the Miami Dolphins have given the agent for Jarvis Landry permission to seek a trade for the wide receiver. Now at least two teams have already communicated their desire in seeing what Landry might need to move on to their team. Sabres looking for their third win in a row tonight. Buffalo on the road in Florida to play the Panthers. They are 6-1-1 in their last 8 road games, including Wednesday night's win in Tampa Bay. Face-off 7:30 tonight in South Florida. College basketball, Canisius and Niagara set up in Albany for the Metro Atlantic Athletic Conference tournament this weekend. Tonight at 9:30, Canisius plays Quinnipiac at the Times Union Center. Quinnipiac advanced by beating Siena last night. Griff's number 2 seed in the tournament. Tomorrow night, Niagara, the 3rd seed in the MAC, plays its first conference tournament game against Fairfield, 7 o'clock tip-off. And the UB Bulls finish off their regular season tonight with a road game at Bowling Green. The Bulls with 22 wins, 8 losses, 14 conference wins, a new record for MAC victories in the season. The Bulls are already the number 1 seed in the upcoming MAC tournament. And that's the sports update from the NFL Combine.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
McCoy at the 10, at the 5, into the end zone. Touchdown! And a great run.
Fires down the middle.
It is intercepted by Micah Hyde. Intercepted. Tre Day. Tre'Davious White.
He's in trouble. He is sacked.
Jordan Poyer came unblocked. It is Jerry Hughes who brings him down. What a big play there.
Poy, touch to the right.
Outrunning everybody. 10, 5. Touchdown, Buffalo.
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts.
Welcome back to the show, the John Murphy Show from the NFL Scouting Combine. John Murphy, Donald Jones for our third and final hour. Joined by a familiar face, longtime college football coach at Colorado and UCLA. Spent a couple of years in the NFL, now a broadcaster with CBS Sports and with Sirius XM Radio. Happy to have Coach Rick Neuheisel with us. Coach, thanks for coming by. We appreciate
it. Good to
it.
Be with you boys. Yeah, that's what happens to old football coaches. We go straight to the – I've got that face for radio. So,
so do I. So
away we go.
Not me. I'm for TV. Straight for TV. Sorry about that.
Coach, you have put your name out there. Your name's been mentioned for a couple of vacancies, right? College coaching vacancies in recent years?
Yeah, sometimes. That's to distract what's really happening behind the scenes. I'm not sure that I'm on the front burner of any of these jobs, especially at the collegiate level. You know, it's too easy for athletic directors to go hire somebody that doesn't have the war wounds, right? The guys that have won all their games at the Group of Five level or a hot coordinator, because the athletic director isn't on the hook then. If it doesn't work out, well, he just didn't turn out. If you hire somebody that's got a couple of scars, and if it doesn't work out, now it becomes the AD's problem. So it isn't so easy to get the next job at the collegiate level, but that's okay. Young guys deserve chances, too.
Would you like to get back into coaching, though?
I miss coaching every day, Donald. Yeah. I mean, just coming to a thing like here we are at the Combine, you're reminded how, you know, these kids are overachievers.
Yeah.
They find ways to get things done despite hardship at home growing up, hardship of injuries, recovering, and they're still getting their degrees. It really is a fun job. It never felt like a job because you're always trying to, you know, achieve the championship, whatever the goal is for any particular team or organization. But you're around people that can't wait to be the best, wake up every morning trying to get there.
Yeah, you know, when I was coming out, and now that I'm retired and been retired for a little while, I watched the rookies that are coming in. And it seems to me, and this is one man's opinion, that these kids and the sense of entitlement is just it's getting worse. Now, when you were recruiting kids and you were going in to sit in their living rooms, did you sense that?
Well, we do it to them. It's not their fault. Yeah. We're the ones who keep telling them how great they are and how, you know, all this is going to happen. And because of the influx of television money, the resources available at college football, especially conferences like the SEC or the Big Ten, they're making somewhere between $45 and $50 million annually. Ooh. So the bells and whistles that they're used to are you know, exorbitant. But the bottom line is it's our fault. We did that to them.
Yeah.
And if you strip it down, Donald, I really do think at the core, they're hardworking guys. They're coachable guys. They want to be the best. So if you can offer some measure of expertise as a coach, you can get to them and help them take the next step.
Coach Rick Neuheisel is with us here at the Combine. Tell us how your expertise in college football primarily, you do games, how that plays into your expertise here and what you bring to this event, the Combine, when you look at some of these prospects.
Well, like you mentioned, I had 3 years with the Ravens. So I saw the translation of what goes. The games are not the same. College football, especially for the quarterback position, is and as the spread offenses and up-tempo offense have proliferated, they're not learning the skills that are going to be required to take the next step and be at the top of their game in the NFL. That requires great anticipation. That requires the ability to really understand both protections and what happens on defense. And it requires the ability to manipulate the defense so that you can take advantage of where they are and move a defense to create space for a guy on the other side of the vision field. All that takes time. The college game right now, they look over, they get a play call, and it's a progression read where it's receiver one to receiver two to receiver three after putting the ball in the belly of a running back and deciding if the unblocked defender is engaged now in the run game where I can throw it behind his ear, which is what Baker Mayfield was basically a savant at. Mm-hmm. He and Lincoln Riley, their now head coach, former offensive coordinator there at Oklahoma, had that offense down. But what we're seeing now is the advent of that RPO world, a run-pass option, coming to the NFL. The Eagles in that championship game against the Vikings did it over and over again. Nick Foles, who another one of those quarterbacks who whipped me while I was the head coach at UCLA while at Arizona, he understood that portion of the game. So everybody's got their quarterback du jour, but if you take a guy like Baker Mayfield and draft his offense with him, you're going to have a guy that can play at the next level, despite maybe, you know, not being as tall as some of the other guys.
Now, you were talking about colleges hiring young offensive coordinators. You're starting to see that a lot in the NFL as well, hiring these young coaches because they understand The college game is a little
bit different. They don't know what they don't know, see, and they don't have the wounds, so they're willing to attack, mm-hmm. right? Sean McVay with the Rams is a perfect example. What other industry can you go from last to first in 1 year?
Yeah.
Well, it's because you're not wearing those wounds. You're not worrying about what might happen if you do this, that, or the other thing. You're attacking. And certainly he fell into a situation with a Jared Goff, you know, who was ready to go, that understood the language McVay was teaching, and obviously they flourished. And youth sometimes, they lack experience. Well, sometimes that experience is only experience of things that have happened negative. And if you can avoid that negative feeling, you're willing to attack, mm-hmm. and that can be a good thing.
Let's talk about the quarterbacks who are here, and those guys will be on the field tomorrow, Coach. A UCLA quarterback, Josh Rosen. What can you tell us about him and the translation to the pro game?
He's as pretty a passer as I've seen coming out of college in a long time, and definitely a passer that translates to the NFL. Go back to the opening game of the season where they were down 44-10 to Texas A&M. He leads a comeback, one for the ages, and he hit, I think the tight end in that game had 15 catches, meaning that he understands the mini field. That portion of the field somewhere, you know, extending probably 2 to 3 yards outside where a tight end or an imagined tight end would be, all the way up to 22 yards, basically inside the hash marks. He can throw and hit targets in there and throw and put the ball where only the offensive player can catch it. To me, that's a translatable skill. He also has great deep ball accuracy. If you go back to the first throw in college football, you know, he's true freshman against Virginia. It's a 50-yard ball in the air on the money, unfortunately dropped. But, I mean, yeah. It was on the money. And so it's not too big for him. I don't think it'll be too big for him at the next level. The questions about Rosen are all about what is his, you know, his personality. Is he too arrogant? Will he fit in a locker room? To me, as long as the arrogance is accompanied with confidence and expertise,
right.
So you knowing what you're talking about, you'll be fine. I think he's learned enough about himself that he'll say, listen, I need to go through the growing pains of being a rookie, allow the veterans to treat me as a rookie,
yeah.
and then I'll win them over by my performance on the field. Which, Donald, you've been in enough locker rooms to mm-hmm. know that's the natural rite of passage.
Right.
I think that can all happen for him. He was a tennis player, which means he's got, you know, a focus about being an individual. I think he'll approach the craft to want to know everything intellectually. If he passes the test, and this will be the number one test with all the GMs, is it important enough to him?
Right.
If he passes that test, and only time will tell, I think he'll be great.
You know, as you talk about his personality, and for me, some of the greatest athletes of all time weren't, quote-unquote, the best teammates, right? Now, you're talking about a quarterback position. You do need to be able to fit in the locker room, and guys need to rally around you.
You have to embrace that role.
Right.
You have to embrace that role.
You have to embrace that role. So, for me, it's like, okay, everybody's saying he's the prettiest passer in this draft, and I can't understand why nobody has him going ahead of Sam Darnold.
They're worried about the fit, right? But again, as we all know, there's 32 suitors.
Mm-hmm.
Only one has to love you,
yeah.
right? Only one has to love you, and then it's about him acclimating to a locker room, and that'll be on him. And if I'm the GM and I pick Rosen, which would be an easy pick for me
mm-hmm.
because of what I've just said about his physical skill set, I'm putting my arm around him and saying, now you got to go win these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to do it by walking in there and say, hey, I'm Josh Rosen. You're going to walk in there by showing a work ethic.
Right.
Let that other stuff happen naturally. When you get in the huddle, you're going to take control. But otherwise, just be the quiet guy learning. Be the student.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my son was on his team. My son was trying to be the starting quarterback as a junior when Rosen was a freshman. Rosen wins the job. My son's, you know, disappointed. I'm saying, hey, you never know when opportunity's going to knock. You
right,
be ready.
Right.
But he and Rosen forged a relationship because Rosen learned he realized he could learn from Jerry.
Yeah.
And in so learning, Jerry, who was a competitor, you know, wasn't going to be my best friend. The relationship got tight. That's the kind of relationship and the glue that he needs to create in whatever locker room he joins.
With Coach Rick Neuheisel from SiriusXM NFL Radio here covering the Combine. Donald's right. Most people have Sam Darnold going ahead of Josh Rosen in the draft. Why is that?
I think Sam Darnold fits the Cleveland situation better than Josh Rosen. I mean, Cleveland, blue-collar town. Rosen, to me, has shown, listen, number one, he never blamed anybody. He was under fire the entire season. The offensive line play at SC was under par, okay? It was not good enough, partially because of injury, partially because of youth. It wasn't good enough, but never did he complain. And under siege, he still found ways to make big-time NFL-type throws down the field, right? If you watch the Ohio State game, the guy is getting beat up, and yet throw after throw down the field. I mean, I saw one where they had to show the replay and the toe was just in bounds, but the brilliance of the throw somewhere 35 yards down the field was off the charts. Mm-hmm. The Rose Bowl that he had against the Penn State, one for the ages, right? Yeah, yeah. Up until this one. Where we went into overtime. He had five touchdown passes, but maybe the most impressive throw in the game, a game that I was at, was him jumping while Kabinda and all the other guys were coming after him and just getting the ball out of the pocket to save a sack. To me, he has – are there some reads that he needs to get better at? Yes. Are there some throws that were ill-advised, why the turnovers were more numerous this year? Absolutely. But does he have the Marlboro man mentality? And by the way, his grandfather was the Marlboro man.
I didn't know that.
Yes. Does he have? Is he John Wayne going to come in and save the village? That is who he is. Yeah. And as is the case with John Wayne movies, you expect happy endings. I think Cleveland will be crazy not to take Darnold.
You know, for me, it's the interceptions, and the interceptions will scare any head coach, any GM, because you take that guy and he starts to turn the ball over. Turnovers directly correlate to wins and losses. And so if he's that guy, it's like, I don't know about that.
There's no question that it has to get cleaned up. But if you really look at the film and you look at translatable, what will go to the next level, under duress, how this guy stands in there, manipulates, it's kind of like the Sundance Kid from the old Butch Cassidy movie, right? He couldn't hit anything standing still, and he said, can I move? And all of a sudden, he knocks the targets off the charts. This guy has the ability to shuffle and find a space to get the ball out and make big-time downfield throws, and he's unafraid to make downfield throws. It's easy to have a high completion percentage in spread offenses where you're throwing bubble screens right. And, you know, you're RPOing and throwing a slant. But he throws in where eagles dare to fly, and to me, then you teach back from that. Hmm. Rather than trying to teach how to make those throws, let's have a guy who can make that throw, and let me teach how to keep it away from the opponent jerseys.
Another guy in this draft right now who some have had him going number one, others have him at, like, you know, the fifth quarterback to go off the board. Big physical Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Where do you see him?
It's easy to fall in love with Josh Allen. He's an engaging kid. Plus, his coach was Craig Bohl. Craig Bohl's now the Wyoming head coach. Craig Bohl was most recently the North Dakota State head coach, where the unicorn was, Carson Wentz, right? Everybody fell in love with Carson Wentz, and look what Carson Wentz has accomplished in just 2 years. Mm-hmm. He's gone to the status that everybody had already envisioned for him. So is there a corollary? Is this guy, and Craig Bohl speaks about him, you know, favorably in terms of the compare and contrast. So, and he looks like, you know, Battlestar Galactica. I mean, he's 6'5" and 245 pounds. And, you know, as the old Brady Bunch episode, Johnny Bravo, he fits the suit, right? there's no question about all that. But does he have enough reps? Does he have enough acumen to take the next step and be? I think he's a fantastic prospect. I don't think he's ready to play now. So that I wouldn't have him. Because the guys who are picking early, they're picking early because they need some help now.
Right.
I would put him into a position, if I was picking the ideal position for him, a position where he could watch, glean, and continue to grow. He does not have all the experiences. He was a one-year guy at junior college, 2 years at Wyoming. He hasn't had enough throws to be ready for this level anytime soon, in my estimation.
Right. Coach, the quarterbacks hit the field tomorrow. What will you be looking at, and what should fans at home be watching when they watch those quarterback workouts tomorrow?
Well, they're scripted stuff. I think you're looking who responds from uncomfortable situations. This is Alpha Dog and Alpha Dog. They're all staring each other down. Baker Mayfield at the Senior Bowl was having to throw next to Josh Allen. Mm-hmm. It was interesting in day one how he was trying to keep the velocity up to match it. I go, that's not the job. The job is to throw it to a guy in the same color jersey, right? Make sure he catches it, you know, not to see how fast it goes. And to see those kind of guys, which you know, gives me back to a guy like Luke Falk from Washington State.
Right.
That's a guy who plays the position the way I kind of envision it. I'm not trying to be flashy. I'm not trying to – but I will put it in any trajectory necessary to a guy wearing the same jersey. we're not playing football tomorrow. We're just throwing shows, throwing balls and showing off right now. I want to see who misses a pass and then makes the correction in their mind and makes the next one perfect.
All right, Coach, thanks very much.
All right, fellas, take care. Go Bills.
Rick Neuheisel, former UCLA head coach, former Colorado head coach, longtime quarterback guru around the NFL. We thank him for joining us. Coming up next, Lorenzo Alexander rejoins us from the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the NFL Scouting Combine. Our thanks to Coach Rick Neuheisel, former Colorado coach, former UCLA coach. Joined here by Lorenzo Alexander, Bills linebacker, who spent a couple of days here already this week. He's spent some time with the young players. Did you ever go? Did you ever spend any time with Coach Rick Neuheisel? He's in the league for a couple of years.
Never time. I think when I was coming out, he was in college. I want to say he was in
Colorado or UCLA.
That's where I remember him from. Mm-hmm. I've never been on a team where he was part of the coaches.
He had a lot of opinions about quarterbacks, the quarterbacks here, how to use quarterbacks. That's all we talk about on the show. You've heard this, right? All we talk about is quarterbacks.
Yeah, so what did he say? I'd love to hear from a professional's opinion.
Well, it'll be up on the website.
He doesn't want to hear our opinion.
Okay. Oh, now you want to bring people to the website. I know. He wouldn't even tell me what he talked about.
That's crazy. He's been throwing shots at me earlier, too. It's been like this all day. I don't know what the deal is.
I don't know. I mean, do you get paid for more clicks to the website or something, John?
Yes, please. Yes.
No. I didn't know about this. I need to
Well,
for
not to tell me, it's got to be a benefit somewhere.
The website's great. Chris Brown does a great job. Chris,
I got to go listen to the website.
Yeah,
okay.
Try
All
it. Right. Chris is over talking to the quarterbacks. But
he said, try it.
The question I'm trying to get to, do you think we talk too much, not just us, but Buffalo media the last 6 weeks? Are we spending too much time talking about quarterbacks, draft?
I mean, that's what everybody wants to hear, right? So you kind of have to cater to your fan base. Obviously, there's a lot of stuff and a lot of noise, obviously, around Tyrod and whether or not he's going to be here or they're going to pick up his option and all that stuff. So as media, you have to, you know, direct it a lot of attention to that. And it's a quarterback league. So when you have a class that is coming out, when you have so many free agents of notable guys around the league, people naturally want to talk about that because they don't think that we are where we need to be at quarterback. Obviously, I beg to differ. Obviously, I'm biased because I see Tyrod work each and every single day. I think he has the skill set to help us win and do an even better job and learn. I think the biggest thing that we need to do is have some consistency at the coordinator position and scheme-wise. I mean, there's no way. No quarterback in this league can switch coordinator. I think we've had three since I've been here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you put anybody in those situations, they're not going to perform at their highest level because they're constantly learning something different. Every coach that you've ever come in contact with has something different that they emphasize and want from whatever position they're coaching. So I think that's one thing that we have to see that needs to grow, and hopefully our new OC is that guy and he can grow under him and be productive there. But we need some consistency.
I was talking to Steve Atwater and the boys from Denver yesterday, and they're in the same boat. They've been trying to find a quarterback for the last few years. And they were like, listen, I mean, for us selfishly, talking about if we had a quarterback, we wouldn't have anything to talk about here on there.
As much as we talk about it and fans talk about it, you guys really stand to gain or benefit the most from a quarterback decision, right? Don't you feel like that? I'd like to know who our quarterback is. Or as a veteran guy, 13, 14 years in the league, you can wait.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't really affect us right now. I mean, I don't need to hear about it every single day. I mean,
every day then.
I don't listen every day. I tune in for a little bit, get a little dirt on Donald.
Yeah.
And then I'll tweet or whatever. But, I mean, it's important. You got to know who, because that's essentially one of your leaders on your team, somebody that's going to drive the offense and put points on the board and help you win games. So it is good to know from a standpoint going into camp who that guy is going to be so he can get all the reps. Create that chemistry that you want to see between him and wide receiver, him and the line, and really help drive and lead us to winning games and ultimately getting back into the playoffs. And, you know, for me, that's Tyrod. Obviously, people are going to always try to figure a way to upgrade, but that's what they do anyway with every position.
Right.
They always thinking you need to upgrade, and they want to all-pro at every position, but that's not what wins games in football. It's chemistry, leadership, it's all the little things that people – tend to overlook, because I know many times throughout my year you've had 11 Pro Bowlers on certain teams and they don't win a playoff game. Sometimes they don't make the playoffs. So it's more than that. And you look at the Patriots, who may not, you know, they have very few. Obviously, they have Tom Brady, but they have a bunch of guys a lot of times, and they find themselves there every year. So there's something to that.
What for you, a veteran on the team, and you've been on a lot of different teams, I'm not sure if you've been on a team where they drafted a rookie and wanted him to start right away.
RG3.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So what's that like when you get into training camp? Because, yeah, I've seen you play in college, but I don't know how you are here. What's that like for you veterans? Like, man, I don't know how this guy is going to play.
They have to prove themselves. Obviously, there's more on the shoulders of a quarterback because he's out there. He's touching the ball every single play.
Right.
You have to earn the respect. But it's the same process. It's whether or not he can handle that additional pressure playing that position, being the face of the franchise, being in a D.C. is a decent media market size, handling that side of it. But Rob, he came out and earned his stripes early. He was making plays in practice, OTAs, got in the games, and was making some big plays with his legs and feet. And that's what guys want to see. And then when you the first time you get hit in the mouth, you know, how do you respond? You get back up. You know, how do you inspire the guys around you? And so he excelled at some of those things, and he lacked in some areas. And over time, it kind of came to fruition, and, you know, now he's no longer in the league. But during that time, that rookie year, I mean, he was rolling on all cylinders.
Did y'all see something in Kirk Cousins even that year where you could say, man, this dude might be good as well?
Well, he came in a couple of times and won some games. I mean, granted, we were playing the Cleveland Browns, but he came in as a rookie, not having any real game reps, and came in and won the game and was very efficient, commanded the huddle very well. And when you talk to veterans like Santana Moss and some other guys that were in that huddle, Pierre Garçon, I mean, they like Kirk, too. They like what he brought, the demeanor he had, and how he controlled. And that's really what you want to see out of your quarterback. I mean, be able to inspire guys, raise their game, and be able to put guys in place to make plays.
Lorenzo, I know you're not going to want to trash Washington, the Redskins, but did they mishandle RG3?
Maybe he does.
Trash away.
I think they mishandled me.
Did they mishandle RG3?
I mean, when you think about how hurt he was, in that game that I was there, I mean, his knee was pretty messed up, and I think they should have stepped into protecting him. And that scenario there when we lost to Seattle and he was injured out on the field really set the trajectory for the remainder of his career, because he really was never the same player.
Right.
And after that, you know, just the messiness of the media, everybody's leaking stuff. I mean, if you talk to Rob, it's probably some things him and his dad, because his dad was really involved in the situation. Some things on his side he could have done better as well, because as a grown man, when you have a parent step in, it messes a lot of things up. It rubs coaches the wrong way. So both sides could have done a better job of handling that. And, you know, that club may have be in a better position, because Robert was a very talented guy. Maybe he would have grew and matured as a pocket passer, as well as using his legs to create some more plays.
With Lorenzo Alexander here at the Combine, Chris Brown, Bills Insider, is over interviewing some of the quarterbacks at the podiums. And Baker Mayfield, the Oklahoma quarterback, just said that he's got a meeting with the Bills tonight. They will meet, I would guess, with all of these premium quarterbacks, the Bills, right?
I mean, that's
Baker
doing
Mayfield
due diligence.
Tonight. Right, they have to.
It's due diligence.
Right.
And here's the thing, and people are going to say, oh, man, that means they're trying to trade up to get Baker Mayfield. No, it actually doesn't. It means they're doing their job, and they're interviewing all of these guys. They're going to sit down with all of these guys, and people are going to say, well, that means they want to draft the quarterback. No, it just means that they're doing their due diligence, and that's what they're supposed to do here at the Combine. They need to get to know all of these guys. And to be honest with you, you can't even learn enough about these guys in 15 minutes.
It gives you a snapshot.
If you start to see guys on the visits and guys, they bring guys in the spring to work guys out right before the draft, then maybe you can say something. But right now here, no, they're going to sit down with everybody in this draft.
Right, yeah. Throughout this entire process, they get snapshots each and every single time, where they're talking to the player, a coach, a friend, and they just want to make sure things line up. Mm-hmm. Whether it's positive or negative, you just want to continue to see, okay, this is real. This is who he is.
Right.
Each and every time you come in contact with him, obviously on a visit, you have an extended period of time to really engage him and see who he is and kind of see. But a lot of these guys are coached up. But at some point, if you see him enough and have enough contact with him, something is going to come out that's either going to back it up or, you know, say it's not after a certain part of time.
With Bills linebacker Lorenzo Alexander, John Murphy, Donald Jones at the NFL Combine. What have you been doing today? You spoke with more rookies?
Yeah, we had who did we have coming? We had the quarterbacks, we had receivers, tight ends, and I guess PK would be place kicker.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what ST stands for.
Special teams.
Special teams, so punter or long snapper maybe. So we had a chance to talk to those guys again, and it's just the same thing that we do with each group, really go over what the union does for them, how we're trying to help maximize their career, whether it's 1 year or 15 years. It doesn't really matter. And all the services that we provide. Just give a little bit of a world view, a real professional perspective as far as how you should approach the game.
How many players like you are in these sessions?
It's just me.
You're the only veteran?
Yeah, I'm the only veteran in this. Yesterday we had Frosty Rucker, who I played with in Arizona, but today it was just me.
Anybody ask a question that just blew you away among the playing group?
I mean, it was some intelligent questions. The one that was kind of surprised that I never thought about, because obviously now as a professional, you can make money off of your jersey sales and your endorsements. Mm-hmm. And if you're a star player still, you know, let's say Saquon Barkley, obviously his school is going to continue to sell his jersey with his number on it.
Yeah.
So a guy in there asked, you know, well, now that I'm a professional,
can I get paid
for those jerseys being sold at colleges? Jersey. So there's some partnership with NFLPA, and that was a great. I was like, man, that's a one I never thought about.
That's
a great question. So there's some ways they can get compensated for that, but it's not a direct feed like they get off their NFL jerseys.
Okay.
That's a really good question.
Yeah.
I've
never thought about it.
Right.
How many jerseys do you think they sold at Youngstown, Donald Jones?
None.
None. No, why not?
He's taking shots. Look,
no, it's not a shot. I just wondered. It's not a shot.
They didn't sell me
jerseys. They didn't sell my jersey either. They still selling A-Rod's jersey at Cal, though. Marshawn Lynch, you would think he would get paid off of some of those now. But nope.
Hey, I want to ask you about a couple of different things here. You know, we're watching some of the workouts go on. Do you watch these at all? Do you pay attention to what you guys are doing out on the field? Because Saquon Barkley's tearing
up. Yeah, well, he's impressive. Normally I wouldn't watch this, but since I'm down here, I'm kind of forced to. But, you know, I have kids at home. We ain't watching Combine. We were watching Disney and Netflix and Power Rangers and stuff.
My son will watch this. He wants to watch this stuff. I know if I get home. He's going to want to watch this.
Well, my 7-year-old may, but the 3-year-old really runs the show right now.
Oh, yeah.
So he ain't quite this far into football quite yet. Mm-hmm. But Saquon Barkley, as you said before, I mean, it's impressive. I didn't think the kid was 230 based on the way he moves. You see the moves he's making, jumping over cats, sidestepping. 230, running 4.4, throwing up 30 on the bench or whatever he did. I mean, the guy's going to be a top 5 pick. He has to be. He's the next game changer.
I mean, some people will say, look, don't be shocked if the Browns actually take him number 1 overall. I can't see it happen. I can't see them passing up on another quarterback. You know,
they drafted a lot of quarterbacks.
They drafted a lot of them and been wrong. But if you sit there with the number 1 pick and you like a guy, you can't pass up on him.
True, but does the run game and what Saquon Barkley make one of their quarterbacks that they have on their roster better?
That's a good question.
Because you added that. Just like the Zeke Elliott effect.
Yeah.
Dak Prescott. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Dak is who he is without having that running game his first year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So maybe they looking at it from that perspective instead.
Yeah, which gets us to the kind of the heart of the combine. We're watching individual players do individual drills, and yet these teams are all drafting and looking at guys based on how they fit into their program. Who do we have at quarterback? Would he benefit from having a Saquon Barkley alongside of him in the backfield? You know what I mean? And Greg Cosell, I thought, made a really good point. What do you need, and how does he fit your program? That's kind of the – we look at it, outsiders like us look at it and say, wow, look at the 40 time. Wow, look at the vertical jump. Teams look at it like, how does he fit in with who we have and what we'd like to do?
Right,
and
personnel scheme.
They always try to say, you know, draft best player available, yada. No, these teams are drafting what they need.
Right.
Don't get it twisted, you know. Because, I mean, if you have – if you just drafted a running back last year early and he's your starter, then why would you draft him? Just because he's the number 1 guy on the board doesn't mean you're going to draft another running back. You're going to draft somebody that you need, you know. So, and now, if he went number 1 overall, I wouldn't be shocked. The Giants, though, they sit in a spot to really take Saquon Barkley. I think the Browns will take a quarterback. I think the Giants at number 2 because they feel like with Eli at the quarterback, they got a bunch of receivers out there with Odell coming back. They drafted the rookie tight end last year.
Right.
That's pretty good for them. They got some other receivers. The running back position has been something they haven't had since Tiki Barber. I mean, it's been a while since they had a running back.
Exactly. Tiki was probably the last one.
Exactly. So it's like, we need to solidify that running back spot.
You're a Giants fan, aren't you?
I mean, I grew up a Giants fan.
Yeah, okay. I can tell.
Really?
Yeah. You.
I react the same way with the Bills.
No. I know you follow the Bills, but you do follow the Giants. I can tell you're the Giants.
I mean,
okay, that's fine.
It's all good.
Trying to keep my eyes open.
You follow. I mean, you're still playing, so it's a little bit different. But you grew up a Niners fan, right?
Yeah, I don't follow the Niners.
You don't follow them at all?
No, I mean, unless a guy goes there. I mean, I know Kyle Shanahan is there because he was my coach in Washington. Mm-hmm. Pierre is out there. Some guys that I know, but I don't really follow them.
When you're done playing, you think you?
Probably not. I probably follow the teams that I played for.
Right.
You know, obviously, I probably always stay somewhat connected to Washington because I was there the longest. The Bills, and probably those are probably the two teams I'm most connected to. I be in Arizona, so even there. Probably being in that vicinity, I'd probably be doing a lot of the things there, being an alumni of that organization as well. So that's kind of the benefit, I guess, of being around the league a little bit.
Yeah, with all the
connected, with a lot of different teams. And that's why I really like coming out here. I mean, there are GAs, assistant coaches, head coaches, and this front office manager that have all kind of spread out. Some have elevated, like I was with Sean McVay when he was a tight end coach. Now he's the head coach.
Yeah.
I played with Dan Morgan when I was a rookie in Carolina. Now he's been a scout out in Seattle. So I have a lot of relationships and connections around the league that sometimes I'm unaware of, and just by coming out here, you get to talk to those guys.
Would you I know you like the media, and maybe that's a possibility in your future. Would you ever want to get into, like, scouting, personnel side of things? I don't know about coaching.
Yeah.
Maybe even coaching.
Yeah, I mean, coaching, the hours are just crazy. Yeah. And the age of my kids, I really want to be there. And just talking to guys that are doing it, I mean it's another real sacrifice. It's even more so than being a player.
Yeah.
The agent idea.
Or a scout.
Idea is intriguing. I'm always talking to Gerald, who's a scout in our office. We have a real good relationship. And, I like the idea of that. I'm not quite aware of their hours, but I know it's not as demanding as coaching because a lot of that work is a little bit more traveling depending on what you're doing and how you're doing, advanced scouting or college guys. Hopefully I could be on the pro level. So that stuff is definitely there, available to me. Right now I'm just trying to have as many opportunities and doors open and just kind of put my foot in each one and then maybe pick a spot and go into. But right now, broadcasting, whether it's TV or radio, is kind of the the deal and the goal that I want to go into.
Because you see how much fun it is.
Yeah. I mean, well, you give me a lot of joy and make it seem like you really want to be here. So,
I do.
Yeah, it's really inspiring.
Make it seem like you
really want to be here. I'm fine. I'm glad I'm going home.
Yeah.
Hey, it's time now to play NFL True or False. We're going to get Lorenzo Alexander in on this. NFL True or False, brought to you by Yancey's Fancy, New York's Artisan Cheese. Number one item, Donald and Lorenzo. Teams should have Lamar Jackson work out as a wide receiver, either here at the Combine or down the road. The report today, multiple teams have contacted Lamar Jackson, the Louisville quarterback, former Heisman Trophy winner, and want him to work out at wide receiver in addition to working out at quarterback. What do you think? True or false, teams should do that? What do you
think? If it's in addition, don't say we only want to see you as a wide receiver. So I don't even know how to answer this one, true or false.
It should be maybe asked, should he work out as a wide receiver?
All right, true NFL, false, true or right? false, should Lamar Jackson agree to work out as a wide receiver?
We go through this word. Who words these things? Oh.
Yeah,
I'm not going to say any names.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I think that's a better way to phrase
you're
it.
You're right.
Should he?
Should
because
Lamar
it's really, it's really, it's his decision.
Yeah.
Should he agree to work out as a wide receiver?
And, I'm
going to go true. He should agree. If teams are asking you to do that, then, yeah, you should do it. If the people are just saying it in the media and the fans are saying
right.
it, I don't care what y'all say, but if teams are coming to you saying, we want to see you at wide receiver because, look, at the end of the day, you last a long time in this league by showing that you're versatile, number one, and they want to see that you're actually a team player. So if you come at them and say, no, I'm not doing wide receiver, then they're going to be like, well, all right, you come off the draft board.
Can I go next?
Yeah.
I think true. I think it's like Donald said, it's not just media guys saying, why don't you work him at wide receiver? Teams have asked him that. Our buddy Bill Polian got in trouble apparently a week ago to the point where he didn't want to talk about it with us. But you know that he heard it from teams that they were going to ask Lamar Jackson to work out at wide receiver. That's why Polian said what he said a week ago, and it apparently I missed the firestorm, but it was big.
It was a firestorm.
Bill was upset, sat right there. He got mad at me. He never gets mad at me.
No, oh, really?
Yeah. He
got mad
at me.
It was some backlash.
It was hot.
It was some backlash. He said it on ESPN.
Yeah.
And, people go in a bunch of
different
directions.
Oh, because they go on the racial issue?
Yeah.
Black
that's exactly what it was.
Bill of course. Yeah.
But what do you think? He should work out as a wide receiver.
I would say true. I mean, this gives you more value, added value. So if teams are asking you and thinking about it, that means that they may not want to take you as a quarterback, but they may take you as a receiver. I think of Antoine Wendell-Hill as the guy who played quarterback at Indiana way back in the day that made a great transition, and there's been other guys since then.
Julian Edelman.
Yeah, so it's a lot of guys that do it. Now, it really comes down to where – Lamar is. Now, if he's gung-ho about being quarterback, he wants to do that, that's where he's at. don't sacrifice yourself because this team's want to do it, because they'll move you if you want to. So it's hard, because then it's just hard. It's a hard decision as a kid, right? Because then, like we say, the racial thing. So are they doing this because I'm a black quarterback and I like to run around, or do they really want to see me there because they think I can be good as a receiver? Or, you know, and all that plays into it, because that's real life thing that happens, you know, with black quarterbacks. Yeah. I mean, he's an athlete. Just put him over there and kind of discredit him as his quarterback and what he's done in college.
We all say true. All right, number two, Torn Peck from Billy Price, Ohio State center, suffered an incomplete tear of his left pectoral muscle during the bench press yesterday. Two-time All-American, 55 consecutive starts for the Buckeyes. He says it's not going to force me to miss time at all. He said he'll be ready for the season going forward. But will that torn pec put Billy Price, who had been linked to the Bills in some mock drafts, will that put him out of the first round? You can go first.
I would say false. It's a pec. It's a minor injury. I've actually, he's saying it's a minor tear, I'm guessing, so it's probably a strain or something of that nature. That thing scar over and heal very well, and it's something that probably won't plague him through his career, especially if he hasn't had history of this. Now, this is like the third or fourth time he's torn his pec. I would say yes, but I would say false.
Right.
And his talent speaks for itself. So you don't skip over a guy just because he has a strained muscle from lifting weights. He's a guy that's going to be productive on the offensive line and probably be one of your hogs up front that's going to really help you open up the run game.
You say false. What do you say?
I'm going to go false. I think he'll still end up in the first round. I think that he, because it's a minor injury, it's not like he tore his ACL or something like that, where you know he's not going to play in his first year in the NFL. But because it's so minor, I mean, he was talked about as being a first rounder for a reason, and teams will still take him in the first round, and they're going to just, you know, get him in there and rehab him right away. As soon as he gets drafted, all right, it's time to get here, and it's time to get the rehab, so that by the time we get to training camp, you're good and ready to go.
I don't know for sure, but I'd say true. Because he's a center, too, and teams will say, well, center, first round. I mean, probably the best center here.
Yeah.
But now that he's got that additional complication, it's another reason to wait, I think.
Well, centers don't really have a lot of one-on-one blocks. They're helpers or get helped a lot by guards. So I would say that's even more of a non-issue for him, because he's not necessarily on the edge being out here a lot. He's more compact, dealing with guys inside and never really working outside his framework. Like a tackle, maybe.
Good point. Finally, NFL true or false, Saquon Barkley, who had the big day today, 4.41 in the 40, 41-inch in the vertical, 29 reps of the bench press yesterday. Saquon Barkley is worth the top running back selection. Last couple of years, Leonard Fournette last year was a running back chosen early. Great year. Ezekiel Elliott, 2016, we know what he did. Gurley with the Rams, 2015, is Saquon Barkley the next stud running back coming out? Who wants to go first?
Ooh, I'll go first. I think he's worth a number one overall pick because of a couple of reasons. Number one, we hear people say he's the cleanest prospect in the draft in the last decade. And maybe that's true. I think the way he plays the game, because he is more of a scat back, he's at 230 and he's more of a scat back. Greg Cosell sat here and talked about it. He's not the physical trying to run you over. If he was that guy, then you could say, I'm not sure how long he could play in this league. He's going to take a beating. He's not that guy. He's a guy who can do everything. He can catch the ball. He can even play in the punt return game, right? So, I mean, because he can do so many different things, because he has been so good in college, because of his numbers and everything that you're seeing here, he's worth the number one overall pick.
What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was talking to you guys earlier. I didn't realize he was 230.
Mm-hmm.
The way he moves, I mean, he moves like a back that's 205, 210.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a slasher, jumps over cats, breaks guys down. And then when he needs to bring out the power, he'll thump you too with 230. and like you said, he's versatile, and that's what this league is going to. You know, versatility, being able to come out the backfield in the screen game, going out to the number one wide receiver and working on the linebacker, getting open and that stuff. And he has the ability and the tools and the size to be a home run threat. So he's definitely going to be a high draft pick. I don't know if he's going number one to Cleveland or not. I mean, that would make a great fit, I think, as well for him and up in there in a cold weather city where they love to run the ball. So I think he'll definitely go top five. His talent and obviously his athleticism speaks for itself.
I'd say true as well.
Oh, you say true?
Yeah. Go ahead. What do you have to say?
Now this makes it worse because you just asked me if I still follow the Giants and if I'm still a Giants fan. I'd like to see him go to the Giants, but there's reasons behind it. There's a reason behind it.
He's a Giants fan.
You'd like to see him go to the Giants.
The Browns have so many holes on the team, and I would hate to see him go to a team with a sorry offensive line, and he can't really flourish because he just have nothing around him really to help out. Now, yeah, and if he does that, they're going to give him the ball and run him into the ground. At least if he goes somewhere else where they got a bunch of weapons, he's just another piece of that puzzle, and he can truly flourish.
The Giants have a lot of weapons. They have a great offensive line. I don't know
about their offensive line.
I
don't know about their offensive line, but I know they got a bunch of receivers.
Right.
And so it's not like you're going to give him the ball every single play. We need to leave. Like Leonard Fournette. They're leaning on Leonard Fournette because their quarterback is what he is, has at least this year. And so they're like, we're going to run the ball. We'll throw it when we need to throw it, but we're going to run you basically into the ground.
Renzo, what's on your calendar here? You're sticking around the combine another day or two?
Yeah, I'm trying to find me a couple of free dinners tonight. I don't know. So I think that's the PA best. Is going out to like Prime 47, so yeah. I'll probably find them around 6 o'clock.
You'll buy, right?
Free dinner, yeah. And then also, it's a lot of vendors out here. Who makes the treadmills? Woodway. And then what is it? The Vitaplex? I can't even think of it. Vertimax is out here.
Vertimax, okay.
So I'm trying to smooth and get next to the right people so I get me some product.
You trying to get a Vertimax at your house, man?
And a Woodway. Well, this because we just bought a house in Arizona.
Oh, you bought it?
Yeah. So we're gonna be out that way.
Is there a housewarming? Am I invited?
No, you're not. I'm going to put a gym out there. But when I'm coaching, I want to be able to bring in kids, they can't afford to have a trainer and come over, work out, and train them, as I'm coaching them.
You can train me.
That's a lost cause. You're past your prime. I don't have time to waste. So, and just have those kids over and just give back in that sense. Because I had somebody do that when I was coming up and coming out. So that's kind of my vision of why I want to kind of see if I can get some product. So I got to sell it to them.
Okay.
Trying to sell it to them.
Good luck with that. Thanks for coming by.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Lorenzo Alexander, Bills linebacker with us. Donald and I back with more in a moment. The John Murphy Show. Presented by Napa Auto Parts from the Scouting Combine in Indy. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And now, what have we learned from today's show?
What have we learned? Presented by Advanced Alarm, the official alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. What did we learn here today at the Combine in Indy? Greg Cosell from ESPN's NFL matchup joined us. We asked him about Louisville quarterback Lamar Jackson, the former Heisman Trophy winner. There's discussion that he might want to take some reps at wide receiver here this weekend. Greg Cosell talked about that.
He's a quarterback. Now, having said that, does that mean he doesn't need work? Of course, they all need work. Mm-hmm. They're college players. But he is not a guy that drops back and just looks to take off. He's a good thrower, not a great thrower. But he comes from a system with Bobby Petrino where there's a lot of pro pass game concepts, so he's familiar with a lot of those. I think he's a quarterback. I don't see why you can't put him in an offense like Bill O'Brien did with Deshaun Watson. And Watson was more refined than Jackson, but I'm just talking about style and tactics and approach. Put him in that kind of offense, and he can't succeed.
Greg Cosell. Rick Neuheisel, former UCLA Colorado coach, talked to us today about quarterback Josh Rosen from UCLA.
He can throw and hit targets in there and throw and put the ball where only the offensive player can catch it. To me, that's a translatable skill. He also has great deep ball accuracy. If you go back to the first throw in college football, he's true freshman against Virginia. It's a 50-yard ball in the air. On the money, unfortunately dropped. But, it was on the money. And so it's not too big for him. I don't think it'll be too big for him at the next level. The questions about Rosen are all about what is his personality. Is he too arrogant? Will he fit in a locker room? To me, as long as the arrogance is accompanied with confidence and expertise, so you knowing what you're talking about, you'll be fine.
Rick Neuheisel talking about Josh Rosen. Donald, we're almost out of time. Have a safe trip. We'll see you Monday at work, right?
You guys have a safe trip as well.
Thank you very much. Want to thank our crew, including cinematographer Mike Adamack, production assistants from J.J. Torito, George Blass, Jeff Colton, and Thomas Hollander, Kelly Rood, our producer Jay Harris. Thanks to everybody in Indy who made it happen this week. We will see you Monday back at One Bills Drive at 12 noon. We will recap the combine then on the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts on Buffalo Bills Radio.